It's Friday!
It's showtime.
Okay! Tokyo! South America! Australia! France! Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, Happy New Year, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the final broadcast of 2021. It is, in fact, the 31st day of December 2021. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find our New Year's Eve merrymaking. If you're listening live, just run right over and jump in. The conversation is fine. What? Yeah, nope. Didn't stay connected there. We're connected now. All right. I don't know what happened, but HeadOn.live should be streaming nicely now, at least. It wasn't a moment ago. I started it, and then it dropped. We're doing our merrymaking for this New Year's Eve over at HeadOn.live. Run over and Sparky, wake up, Robin. It's showtime. I've been awake. There's a live show, Silent R. Lamar. This is it. And, I started everything and then it didn't go. Who knows what happens. We've got a good gang gathered together in the chat room right now. If you'd like to pop by, you'll be immediately greeted and welcomed by early arrivers, or timely arrivers, as the case may be. Kid Mark and Silent R. Lamar and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry. And thank you, Roger. I was at the mailbox today, and I picked up my I picked up my shipment, and I can't wait to get into it. Maybe when the brisket's done tomorrow. That's another thing. Today was a lot like, I don't know, some sort of carnivorous quest for fire kind of. I felt like a cavewoman. 4 grocery stores to find 1 brisket. And the other 3 only had those prepackaged corned beefs, you know, with the little pouch with the pickling spice in it, that tiny little bit of pickling spice. And those things were running $25 a piece. And that was not going to happen. But I finally found a brisket at Wally World in Fayetteville. But like I said, along the way, I went and I checked the mail, so... Thank you so very kindly to our pal Dennis in Columbus, and thank you to Brandon and Fennell, and thank you, Gene, Blue Dot Gene, and thank you as well to a person who shall remain nameless, I think prefers to remain nameless, tell me otherwise. But anyway, thank you all so very kindly as the year comes to an end for having kept this program going throughout this most challenging year. This most challenging year, we don't have any subscribers for the 31st day of the month for reasons that, they all get booted to the 28th. So no, we don't. On the 31st of the month here, what we do is we extend thanks to our Patreon subscribers. And I'm calling up that list right now. Come on. There we go. And so now we go through the usual thing where I try to find the, because I'm just not, well, anyway. Get there in a minute. There we are. Thank you very kindly to our Patreon subscribers. That means thank you to Troy. Thank you to Gary. Thank you to Dave and the Blind. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, David. Thank you, Eve. Thank you to Rico and to, I imagine, probably downright tepid Berg. Thanks to Jake. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Thank you, Bernadette. Dear Bernadette. Thank you, Mike. Mike in Cascadia. Thank you, Ed. Thanks to Oak. Thanks, Dave, number 11. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Michael of the Guffins. Thank you, Baltimore Bob. Thanks to Jeff in Slow. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, James. Thank you to Ruth and Aaron. Thank you to Annette. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you to Lori. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Kat. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you to Barbara. Thank you to the Nubian. And thank you to KW. Thanks to Irwin. And thank you to Barb. And thanks to Horst in Taiwan. Thank you to Robin. Thank you, Terrace. Thank you to Frank. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Those are our Patreon subscribers. Thank you all so very kindly for your continuing support of the program. I hope each and every one of our subscribers, whether Patreon, PayPal, a la carte, Venmo, U.S. Postal Service, pick one, I hope you all have a happy and prosperous new year. And again, thank you all so much for making independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting a reality, at least where this program is concerned. With that having been said, it's Friday on the front porch because this coincides nicely, New Year's Eve and Friday on the front porch. There's no party. We're staying in, and I'll be putting on the headlamp here after the program and going out and getting the brisket ready to go. And maybe even get it on the fire before midnight, which would be nice. Got a big head of cabbage. Got some fresh turnip greens. So we'll have some. And it's become kind of rare. My favorite brand of hog jowl has disappeared. But we will have hog jowl, so we will begin the new year eating high on the hog. Yeah. And good riddance to 2021. That from our pal Joey. That's a play, you know, pal Joey. A look back at this past year is rather painful, but it did start out well with Ossoff and Warnock being elected to Congress from Georgia after a lot of hard work by a lot of people all over the country, including Jeffrey and me, being hosted in Marietta, Georgia, by the lovely and determined Liz Griffith. Liz did a wonderful job spearheading a campaign featuring several hundred people in the greater Atlanta area, making phone calls, knocking on doors, and standing on street corners holding signs to get the first black and Jew elected to the United States Senate from Georgia. Thank you, Liz, and thank you all who participated in that momentous event, which culminated in a victory on January 5th. My friend Richard, as he lay bedridden, helped Jeffrey and I fund our way to Georgia four times and was so proud to see a Jew elected in the Deep South. However, things turned ugly on the 6th of January when an insurrection nearly took down democracy in this country, but thanks to the court system holding up and doing the right and proper thing, as my friend Richard predicted, democracy again prevailed, and not even Trump-appointed judges would allow a ruthless subversion of the election justice. Biden was inaugurated on the 20th of January, but thanks to two total turncoats, much of a much-needed Build Back Better program was not implemented, despite literally 88% of this country wanting the part of the package that would allow Medicare to negotiate with drug companies. All caps here. Fuck you, Manchin and Sinema! I think a vast number of tens of millions of Americans would join you in that chorus, Joey. And so continuing on, May 23rd, I lost my dear friend Richard to pancreatic cancer, which has left a huge hole in my life that I can't seem to fill at this point. I miss him terribly. Richard had a lot of life left in him and died too young at 78. Sadly, as I'm writing, I see that Betty White just died today. Only 18 days short of her 100th birthday. Yeah, that's a real pisser. And meanwhile, as Brother Deacon Asa pointed out, Pat Robertson yet lives. See also, Henry Kissinger, Hank. By the way, in the way of a challenge, Brother Deacon Asa said, let's go with the let's all pray for Pat. We don't have but a few more hours challenge of $25. If prayer works, this is the time for the good Lord to demonstrate. Hear, hear, and amen. At least provide a little bit of balance to us having to lose Ms. White. It just seems, oh, God, what a lousy way for 2021 to come to a close. I know. So that $25 challenge is out there. The Triple Your Money Challenge, courtesy of our pal Scott in Wisconsin, is still out there. So we got a fighting chance. And thanks to Larry. Thank you, Larry. That was tremendous. What had been a basically $1,200 fundraising goal is now an $800 fundraising goal. So we've got a chance to get all the way finished for 2021, and for December, and start with a clean slate on January 3rd, which will be our first Moran Monday of 2022. But back to Joey and Giraffe. In June, Jeffrey and I joined Robin on two occasions. On June 4th at Maggie's restaurant near her home, where Robin cooked up some wonderful barbecue. Delicious. Jeffrey really enjoyed the Ambrosian barbecue, and he ate it like a, not a pig, like a giraffe. A few weeks later, Jeffrey and I joined Robin for a protest march to Joe Manchin's office in Charleston. Conveniently, Manchin was not home, as Jeffrey and the Reverend Barber barked at some staff members who tried to impede the progress of the march with a bunch of bullshit questionnaires. On July 4th, Jeffrey and I had the pleasure of meeting with Congresswoman Lucy McBath down in Mayretta, and we expressed how proud we were of her and what she was trying to accomplish to honor her slain son, who was gunned down by a white racist bigot now serving a life term in Florida. Some good news: in September, Jeffrey got accepted to Harvard Business School and began his studies. Jeffrey and I were able to meet Bill in Allentown and Jeremy in Vermont on our travels to New England. And lest I forget, we also met Vermont's finest senator, Bernie Sanders, in August. I was able to take Jeffrey to experience some of the wonderful history of this country, including Bunker Hill, Paul Revere's house, the site of the Boston Tea Party, and so much more. I returned to Boston at the end of the month with my wife. She wanted to see Fenway and also dropped off Jeffrey at Harvard. We went to a Red Sox game against the Yankees and joined us. We parked in Cheesecake Factory's underground parking lot, which we arrived via going through the underground tunnel of Interstate 90, which then dropped us off right in front of the Boston Marriott and just one block away from the famous Lenox Hotel, the hotel where I stayed back in 1976 on Boylston. I told my wife that I wished to retrace the walk I made 45 years ago to Fenway, and all we did was follow Boylston to Fenway. It was a beautiful evening for a mile walk to the park. I took Jeffrey because he wanted to hang out at the sports apparel shop across the street from Fenway, as we arrived at the game quite early. Jeffrey has his mask on, and because the souvenir shop demanded all wear a mask, as people would approach the shop, Jeffrey would yell at anybody sporting Yankee gear that Red Sox fans only need to cover their nose and mouth, but Yankee fans must cover your entire face. You know, one of these days, Jeffrey's going to get a brawl started. Good job, Jeffrey. As I took Jeffrey back to the car, I realized the area they called the Fens had been totally gentrified, and it was very safe to now walk in that area. So I didn't mind walking the extra 2 miles with my stuffed giraffe sporting his Red Sox mask. Many people smiled and cheered when I passed with Jeffrey and were amazed that he was going to be attending Harvard. I tried to show my wife some historical points, but when I took about a 45-minute drive south of Boston to see Plymouth Rock, she just said, "You brought me all the way down here just to this dumb fucking little rock? Where's the winery we're supposed to be going to anyway?" So then I took her out to Cape Cod, to the tip of Cape Cod, to a place called Provincetown, where in the morning you can watch the sunrise and see the ocean, and in the evening you can walk across and watch the sunset while watching the ocean tide roll on in. She loved that, was very happy with her wine and song, or in this case, wine and pot. Hell, she even shared a doobie with Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I had no idea. Well, he does like to get high, him being a high animal. Before leaving Boston, we went to a great restaurant in East Boston in the village of Winthrop. Alias was the name of the restaurant, run by a Moroccan man by the name of Saeed. What wonderful company and wonderful food, reminded of the bed and breakfast Cindy and I used to run. However, in October the 13th, to be exact, I lost my father of 88 years. I'm so sorry. My father was magic. He could do anything. A truly gifted man who could build anything from scratch, including houses. He served in the Navy, then received his master's upon heading up the vocational wing of a local high school. He was an artisan and a wonderful father. May his memory be for a blessing, Joey. Let's go back to 11/22 again. On that date in 1998, Jack Kevorkian was arrested for the filming of his euthanasia of a man in Detroit who had ALS, otherwise known as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease. My father, Joey notes, died of that disease, but he did not need Jack Kevorkian, as he went very quickly and peacefully. My mother made an ironic statement while we were speaking just days before my father's death, only 2 weeks after they had just celebrated their 63rd anniversary. My mother said, "I feel like I'm the luckiest woman on the face of the earth." I immediately asked my mother if she realized what she had just said. My mother, without even realizing it, had just repeated the words that Lou Gehrig spoke at his last appearance at Yankee Stadium on July 4th, 1939. I certainly share my mother's sentiments, as I was very lucky to have such a wonderful father for nearly 60 years. I did not grieve too much over Dad because his quality of life had gone downhill the last year of his life, and I'm so grateful that he really did not suffer much on his way up the 17th green in his next life. Yeah, my father loved golf. And if that was not enough, just for good measure, to finish out this shitty year, 2 weeks after getting my booster, I got COVID. Fortunately, I'm fine, and I even went out and ran 5 miles today. Good for you! Because I was vaccinated, my symptoms are similar to a cold, and I really am doing well. We lost a lot this past year, but the real loss I'm worried about in 2022 is the potential death of democracy. That would be a loss from which we will not ever recover. And so this has been Joey's Journal for Friday on the Front Porch, the 31st day of December 2021, with Giraffe wishing everyone a happy Harvard New Year. And there's a $50 Happy Harvard New Year challenge on the table, so that means that we've got a grand total of $150 in challenges on the table, and that would get us very close to striking distance of being done with fundraising for the year and finishing on a high note. By the way, what I started earlier, I don't think I finished, but I got my care package from Roger, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait to tie into the pepper sauce. And, yeah, I think I'm probably going to be sipping at that hot pepper brine. Oh, my, that's going to be so good. Thank you, Roger. Thank you so much. And with all that having been said, here we are. We will start Friday on the Front Porch, the New Year's edition, perhaps early. Let me check here, because I started. I started the program. I talked to my big sis by 23 days, Terry, earlier today, and it, kind of making a tradition of it. It was a year ago today that I had Terry on, ostensibly to talk about things geologic, because she's a professional geologist. And I asked her if she would come on in the first hour this evening, just to sort of commemorate that, and more particularly to talk about another... Oh, no, I'm not throwing away the alder chips. Oh, no, 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 Roger. That is, that's, I understood the vitality of that right away. I'm saving my alder chips for the first time that I do a plank of salmon for Annette and, well, for everybody else too, because everybody loved it. Brother Deacon Asa gave me that recipe, and wow, it is so, so very good. So I'm going to squirrel those away until I can do some salmon. But this evening it's brisket. And I think I have every reason to believe it will be fantastic. And I'm going to smoke the cabbage, let the smoke get in among the leaves and make it all tingly and tongue-tantalizingly wonderful. What's that? Scott with a note. A few more thoughts about 2021. Well, 2021 is thankfully almost over. Good riddance to an unspeakably shitty year. Still, there were some bright spots. Three of the most reprehensible meat puppets who ever traversed a birth canal, G. Gordon Liddy, Donald Rumsfeld, and Rush Limbaugh, all got their ticket permanently punched for the night train to the big adios. They've shuffled off this mortal coil. Their metabolic processes have ceased. They're dead. In other favorable developments, on January 20th, 2021, Donald J. Trump left office. Hip, hip, and hooray. One hopes he'll be busy. Indeed. Too busy and broke from his legal, political, and financial difficulties in the months ahead to even consider a run in 2024. If the fates allow, as the song goes, perhaps the spirochetes that have for years steadily burrowed through the gray slush inside his otherwise empty skull will have completed their work before the next election cycle commences. Bye-bye, 2021. Greetings, 2022. And I'm just trying to check in and see where Terry is. Because the legitimate purpose for having her on was, given the popularity, and there's no such thing as an illegitimate purpose. Given the popularity of Don't Look Up, and I had a note from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor saying it was the most amazing thing that she'd ever seen. She felt like she was feeling every emotion and some she couldn't even name. And a few other people have reached out and said, wow, it's blowing my mind. But 2021 really is going out as shitty as it possibly can. The fires in Colorado, I don't know if you've seen the videos, but they were horrifying. People running away from wildfires that just really, really went wild. And hurricane force winds. Colorado. Did I mention Colorado? Landlocked Colorado. Hurricane force winds. Hundreds of homes destroyed. Tens of thousands fleeing. And now they're going to get up to a foot of snow in some parts of the state, and at least the blizzard will put out the remainder of the fires, but it's also, according to the National Weather Service, it's also going to make matters rather ugly. National Weather Service saying it'll be very chilly as we ring in the new year tonight. They said from Boulder, snow will be falling across the majority of the area at midnight. There are 33,000 people who had to find other shelter yesterday while the fires roared through areas that were already tinder dry because of historic drought. You know, one of the things about the film Don't Look Up is that it is a great big honking metaphor, and this is no spoiler. It's a huge metaphor for climate change. And almost as if to promote the film, you get this. Our pal Steven saying in the Skype chat, many around here are powerless after record-breaking weather. And yeah, it is tragic for the victims of the fires in Colorado. Let's see. There was a mass shooting on, what, Monday? And then this on Thursday and a blizzard on Friday? What's next? Don't ask. Frogs and locusts? Rivers of blood? I got nothing. No spoilers, Darlene. Don't look up. No spoilers, I hope. No, there will be no spoilers. I mean, you do know there's a comet involved, right? Another liberal program blew the damned ending the other night. Not happy about that. I can see where you wouldn't be. No, but if you watch the trailer, they put the comet in the trailer. You know, Jennifer Lawrence on the set of the show that reminded me of nothing so much as my filthy morning habit. A couple of babbling twits trying to talk happy, and Jennifer Lawrence in the trailer loses her shit and says, "There's a goddamn comet coming right at the Earth, and we're all gonna fucking die." So I hope that's not a spoiler. I thought it would be interesting to talk about, because a year ago we were talking about how the continents broke apart because of some idiots. Some evangelical idiots claim that evolution was disproven by, I don't know, a banana or something equally, coconuts, the wingspeed velocity of an unladen sparrow. I don't know, but that was why I had Terry on a year ago. Where are you, Terry? At Boulder and winds. Jack in Shreveport says, "Yeah, when I lived up there, I think we got gusts of 120 miles an hour one time. People's lawn furniture was scattered for blocks around, even if you tried to tie it down." Boulder seems rather an odd name for that, but maybe it's because the boulders don't blow around. And, of course, the news doesn't stop just because it's New Year's Eve. Okay, so Darlene knows, so you know there's a comet involved, and that wasn't a spoiler. And the trailer's intriguing. Did I mention, Flavio says, did I mention it rained fish in Texarkana, Texas? Well, that's getting ichthyologically closer to frogs and locusts. Really, says Flavio. At this point, I'm not at all surprised. Not in the least. There is some good news about the January 6th insurrection. Tom Baggioni writing over at Raw Story that some of the insurrectionists who invaded the Capitol, they're looking at years in prison because federal prosecutors are using a law that was passed in 2002 that was actually designed for curtailing financial crimes. The Wall Street Journal, he cites, with the insurrectionist being charged with obstructing an official proceeding. and that's got a heavier penalty. Because I guess with the bad press they've been getting, they're the DOJ, the Merrick Garland DOJ, is looking for some way to be a bit more stern. And they're using the official proceeding statute. Thus far, over the course of this almost year since the insurrection, over 150 rioters have entered guilty pleas. A lot of them for misdemeanor entering a restricted federal building. But 270 of them have been hit with the citation from 2002's Sarbanes-Oxley Act. The Wall Street Journal reporting, prosecutors searched for tools to elevate some of the cases beyond the misdemeanor charges often applied for unruly but far less momentous capital protests. They turned to a provision in the 2002 Sarbanes-Oxley Act, enacted after the accounting fraud scandal and collapse of Enron, which imposes a potential 20-year sentence on those convicted of obstructing an official proceeding. That was it. Yeah, 1 year ago, Tom and Sunny San Rafael. Hey, Tom, Happy New Year, my friend. A year ago, we were Terry and I were talking about that's what the freak said. You have to believe that monkeys can surf. Thanks for remembering that, Tom. I knew it had something. There was something somewhat tropical about it. Yeah, surfing, I don't know, surf monkeys from outer space. And so continuing with the trend and sort of marking a very happy anniversary of sorts, there's Terry.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. I hear you, big sis. Yay. So,
I love it when technology works.
Oh, have you been swearing at the machine for the last 5 minutes?
No, actually, it worked like the first time. I'm shocked.
So, yay.
Yay.
Any big New Year's plans?
Let's see. Quarantining? No.
staying home.
Staying home, and yeah, got a friend coming over.
Oh, wonderful.
Do a little solo celebrating here in the confines of our vaccinated and boosted home. So yeah.
There's a big to-do tonight that I'm not going to attend because it's just too risky. And doggone it was a glam party too. Everybody was supposed to.
Corona party. I'm sorry. Every New Year's party tonight will be a Corona party.
Yeah. Well,
fans are butts about it with the way numbers are just. You know what was the old saying on the billboard? You know, when a record would come out and it's like number 52 with a bullet.
With a bullet.
Yeah, with a bullet, you know. That's where our numbers are lately, you know. Especially here in the great state of Alabama, and I know things are the same up there in West Virginia.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's just a shit fest. Just a shit. Can I say that?
I know, and to have Betty White pass away on
Oh, no! New Year's Eve! Didn't even make it to 100. It sucks. There's a Twitter account that's by God, you know, somebody doing.
Yeah, God. The tweet of God.
Yeah, and they said, "Oh, I'm horrible! I am a horrible God, cruel and inhumane to take Betty White."
I thought that was pretty shitty, frankly. I mean, as deity actions go.
It could have been a blessing for her to get her out of this, shit fest. And I really hope she passed in her sleep.
Yes.
That she just stepped off this mortal coil into the dream of forever, you know, just like, all right, and gets to see Bob Hope and Bing Crosby and all those old
and Mary
stars,
and yeah,
you know, yeah, Mary Tyler Moore, Rhoda, and
Cloris Leachman is still with us, though, isn't she?
I don't know. I think she hasn't died.
But Ted Knight?
Ted Knight's gone, No, she's dead. She died January of this year.
So, wow. So we began with Cloris Leachman and ended with...
Yeah.
tough year for the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Damn.
Yeah, really. And Ed Asner died this year. Right? Didn't he die this year?
I think you're right. Oh.
Yes, August 29th.
So let's,
Three from the Mary Tyler Moore Show gone.
And the funny thing is, I remember this time a year ago, we were thinking, we'll have this thing licked by next year.
It will just go away like it never existed.
Well, we kind of misunderestimated. That's a George W. Bush word. We kind of misunderestimated the power of maggot stupidity, the power of mask hole stupidity, the power of COVIDiocy.
Isn't it amazing that, 60 or 70% of Republicans are not vaccinated, whereas only 16% of Democrats are unvaccinated? That's a very telling statistic in relation to the stupidity of the members of each party being very low on the Democratic side and apparently very high on the Republican, which is surreal at best to say that. It's like if there was ever a party that was shooting itself in the foot, in the knee, in the hand, in every other part of the body.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
You want to kill off your base? Tell them not to take the vaccine. Just there you go. Why do Democrats have to do anything?
You know, maybe y'all could do something in Alabama about that Senate race after all.
Well, it may do it unto itself. You never can tell by these things. So, you know. But Mr. Mo Brooks seems to be on the low end of the poll. Miss Britt has outraised him and is higher in the polls than he is.
Well, I mean, even while we were down there every day, there were, and you'll know what the other one is. I know you know. There were two billboards. There was one of them everywhere you looked.
It was Miss Britt.
It was either Katie or Kathy Britt or an Alexander Shannara billboard.
Oh yeah, the lawyer. Yeah, I think he probably has more billboards than she does. But she got a huge influx of cash from Shelby. She's the heir apparent, blessed by Richard Shelby, so that, you know, we really don't get to choose our senators, or we're told,
right,
more or less, who's going to be the next one, because I don't know what the hell she was or what she's done or anything, but she's been passed the baton, and so ergo, all Republicans in Alabama more than likely will vote for her, just because she's a Republican, really. That's her really only qualification to be senator.
Well, wasn't she
a Republican?
Wasn't she Richard Shelby's chief of staff or something?
At one point, several years ago.
Oh, okay, that's not even current.
Yeah, she's not his current one, as I understand. I don't know much about her, really. It's just really little out there. Billboards. That's pretty much what I've seen.
Well, I did see it. I saw a clip of her. I saw a clip of her at one point. In a debate that included Mo Brooks, Les Brames.
Oh, yes.
And they were desperately battling to prove who was more religiously and hopelessly devoted to Nitwit Nero.
Yes, also known as Trump, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And nothing on the horizon for a Democratic challenger, though, right?
There's some out there, but I couldn't tell you who they are. They're very, very no name.
No name, no money, no name,
no chance in hell of becoming senator. Like, you know, because we don't have a pedophile running on the Republican side. So
that's kind of what. Oh, where are you when we need you?
the other Moore.
Yeah. Roy Tola Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and from the research department, Terry. Scott in San Diego tells me that with her passing today, 2021 took four of the principal characters from the Mary Tyler Moore Show: Ed Asner, Cloris Leachman, Gavin McLeod, and Betty White.
Oh yes, forgot about Gavin. Yeah, Yeah. And that Amazing Four. Is there anybody left?
Maybe the little girl who played Cloris Leachman's daughter.
I don't remember her. Who was that?
I can't remember the actor's name. But no, no spoilers are given. Have you seen Don't Look Down or Don't Look Up yet?
Yes. Yeah, I watched it the other night, actually. And it was just a little too, Lord have mercy.
Real?
You could see real. Yeah. Just mind-boggling. I mean, they other than it being a woman president, it was just like the Republicans very much.
No, I think that was part of the genius of it.
Don't look up.
Oh, God. Funny how it rhymes, or not rhymes, but it scans exactly with lock her up. Lock her up. Don't look up.
It does. Don't look up. They're lying. You know, we want to keep our eyes on the ground. We want to keep our eyes on the ball. Don't be looking up in the sky. It's like, Lord have mercy. And then, of course, all these people just blindly, literally, not looking up.
Yeah. And it is difficult to talk about it without spoilers. But as I noted before you came on, it's about a giant comet heading right at Earth.
Yes.
And the same, you know, whether it's a giant comet or a giant asteroid, we do in terms of this planet's place in the cosmos, we're in sort of a shooting gallery, aren't we?
Sure. It's not a question of if another, you know, extinct event, asteroid, comet, what have you, hits the Earth. It's when will it hit the Earth? Matter of time, basically.
Because
it happens about every 26 million years, actually. So,
well, the last one played some role, at least the science thinks, in the end of the era of the giant dinosaurs.
Yeah, not knocking off the dinosaurs and thousands of other species.
Notwithstanding that classic cartoon by Gary Larson that was titled "The Real Reason the Dinosaurs Died Out." And it had a bunch of T-Rexes standing around smoking cigarettes.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. That was great. Yeah, yeah. Which you know, art was kind of imitating life. Them saying that the comet was between 5 and 10 kilometers across, and the meteorite that helped the dinosaurs toddle off this mortal plane was about 7 kilometers. Is estimated based on the size of the crater.
Yeah, the impact crater in the Gulf of Mexico by the Yucatan Peninsula.
Yes, yes. It's sort of half in the Gulf and half on the peninsula. Yeah.
So, is what they predict? Was it a fairly accurate prediction about you know what one of those hitting the planet would do?
Yeah. Well, not, you know, they called it a planet killer. Obviously, the one that, you know, took the dinosaurs out was not a planet killer. I mean, that kind of meteorite would wipe out practically all life on this planet. You know, microscopic life, bacteria and things like that would, you know, survive in some way, somehow. On the planet, but any mega fauna life, you know, multi-celled creatures, odds are they would be wiped out, given a big enough meteor to hit the planet.
And so when the one that hit off of Yucatan hit, obviously it probably vaporized a whole lot of ocean the minute it hit, but how far in did it bury?
About 12 miles.
Is that past the extent of the crust?
Depends on where you hit. Right there, probably not.
And so, with an impact in the in the deepest reaches of the Pacific, as depicted as predicted in the movie. What would you expect?
Do what now?
I said, so if you've got the one depicted in the film was predicted to hit in the Pacific, what would you expect in that circumstance?
Well, it was supposed to hit right at about Chile.
Off the coast of Chile, right?
Off the coast of Chile. Well, there's a subduction zone at Chile. I mean, all along the coast of South America is a subduction zone. That's why we have Andes where they are. And so the crust is actually double thick right there. So odds are it would not have penetrated into the mantle.
Okay,
Does that make sense? One plate is diving underneath another, and you get a double thickness of crust down to, I think 30, 40 miles or something like that, if I remember right. It's been a while, but yeah. Crust is around 20 to 30 miles thick most of those places being oceanic crust. And of course, it gets much thicker under continental.
I remember an old science fiction movie, black and white, that just terrified me when I was little. Of course, one of the memes that's gone around in regard to this film is that somebody holding up a sign that says, "Every disaster movie begins with a government ignoring scientists."
We're living in a disaster movie, obviously, from climate to COVID, and we humans as a group don't do anything until it's just absolutely necessary, and then it's usually a knee-jerk reaction because of said disaster occurring. That's what we do as a race. That's what we've always done. We don't learn from our past in any shape, form, or fashion, really. I think we're too short-lived to really learn from our past.
That jives with something I've been saying for years, namely that if humans had a longer lifespan, we might actually get things right once in a while.
Yeah, because you'd have people around, 300 years. Well, what happened 300 years ago? We ain't doing that shit again. And you've got to, and enough of those people, to make a strong case for something. So, but we're relatively short-lived.
Well,
pretty sad, really. You think, though, with our current age of technology, and the amount of information that we have at our disposal, easily accessed by so many individuals around this planet, that our stupidity just seems to be exponentially increasing.
Well, you raise another issue, and that is, and we've certainly seen it in the era of COVID. These self-anointed medical experts, who know all, they know better than people who have devoted their entire lives to science, because they went online and asked Dr. Google, or went to Google Medical School.
Well, it's a double-edged sword, though, because you can gain a good bit of information about what's going on with yourself, but you've got to vet the sites you go to. If you're looking for something that's just sort of going to tell you what you think you already know, that these vaccines are fake, or they're injecting DNA in you, or they're going to be injecting a chip in you to track you, or whatnot. That's the kind of stuff you're going to get. That's the kind of stuff you're going to believe, because it dwells into what you already believe. That's what humans do.
That's not knowledge acquisition. That's bias confirmation.
Yeah, that's bias confirmation. And most people will believe what they already believe, and reinforces what they believe. And it can be extremely difficult to change their mind with facts, real science, scientists. It's like, you're just out to get me. It's just like the amount of distrust. People will believe a conspiracy theory before they'll believe the real thing. I don't know if they think it's too good to be true, that that kind of thing, you know. Oh, yeah, sure, you got a vaccine for me. Well, that just sounds a little too good to be true. You're just trying to do something that are built me out of money, or, you know, you want to track me, take away my freedom. That's the biggest thing these days is, you know, it's going to take your freedom away. It's like, really? Freedom from what? Getting sick, perhaps? Dying of COVID? I mean, we have enough data now from the number of people who have gotten shots and are vaccinated and boosted that, you know, the majority of people that are being hospitalized right now are not vaccinated. The majority, huge majority of people dying of COVID are not vaccinated. Yes, vaccinated people still get it. Yes, vaccinated people still get sick. They don't hardly ever go to the hospital.
Or die. Yeah, we were talking about that in yesterday's program briefly. At one point in time, it was really infuriating when they released the guidance that said when people show up at the hospital, prioritize the ones that aren't vaccinated. And a lot of us said, you know, well, that's a hell of a note. But now it's pretty much only people who are unvaccinated who are showing up at the hospital.
I know, right? Yeah, it's those people who are keeping other people from getting surgeries.
Maybe reckon they knew something that we didn't know?
And those people are dying. But, you know, the insurance companies, private insurance companies are going, look, you're not getting vaccinated, we're not going to pay for your treatment. Because we're looking at our bottom line.
Oh, wait, that would be the
people that are vaccinated are a way lower risk than you are. And so we're not going to pay for you.
Yeah, that would be that free market that the Republicans are constantly worshiping, wouldn't it?
Yes. Isn't that amazing? Oh, it's all about freedom, and how dare you do this, and how dare you do that, blah, 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 blah.
So is Omicron just blowing up down there where you are?
Oh, yeah. Our positivity rate on tests is the highest it's been for the whole pandemic. It's like 32%, or it was. No, I don't know what it is today. I expect it to be higher because the trend line is a damn vertical line going just about straight up. And it's, you know, and historically in this pandemic, there's a little, you know, 4 or 5 day lag time between positivity rate and hospitalizations tracking that upward trend. So we're going to see hospitalizations with Omicron. It might be less deadly, and it very well could be less severe as an illness. But it's infecting way more people, and there's a percentage of those people who will have to be hospitalized. And so when you're dealing with a huge percentage of people getting sick, even if the percentage of that people is low to be hospitalized, you get enough people sick, then that number, regardless if it's a low percentage, it's like, you know, 5% of a million is a whole lot bigger than 5% of 100,000. Same percentage, but the number of people affected, way different.
Right, because higher transmissibility by definition means that you're still going to have higher rates of negative outcomes.
Yes. More people are going to die. More people are going to be hospitalized.
Yeah,
it's going to be a shit fest, Robin, in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a shit fest.
And that leads to my, you know, you live in a far more populous area than do I. I'm sure that down there where it's still warm and pleasant.
It was 82 degrees today. 82.
God.
The Gulf. Warm. Oh, my God. It's so balmy outside. It is just like a day in June, really, or a cool July day, but not much difference, really. Humid as hell, balmy, sucks. Here on the last day, you know, of December in the middle of winter. Of course, it's going to be, the high will be 50 degrees come Sunday.
And but this evening down there, people will be putting on their finery and going out for New Year's Eve, and there won't, and being as how it's Alabama, there won't be a mask in sight.
Oh, God, I was just at the store like 2 hours ago. I would say there were maybe 10% of the people in there that were wearing masks.
And that is a that's a liberal estimate, I'll warrant.
Yes, that wasn't a scientific method of counting, but just my quick assessment of the people I was going by in the stores. I estimated about 10%, which is actually up a little bit from a few days ago when it looked like only about 5%. You know, very, very, very small minority. I almost felt like I was the only one in the store other than the staff. Staff was pretty well masked, but shoppers, no.
Kind of makes you feel some degree of sympathy for Jennifer Lawrence in Don't Look Up saying, you're all going to fucking die.
Exactly. Just that's, yeah, it's kind of how I feel. It's like I see dead people. Y'all just don't know you're dead yet. I don't know, the denial. You think it's denial or just don't give a shit anymore and I'm going to live my life and if I die, well, I got to die someday anyway.
That, well, I think Terry, I think there's a tie in with bigotry. It always seems like there is.
How do you work bigotry into your own health? Your own health. It's like a seatbelt only protects you in a crash. Only you. It doesn't protect anybody else. And the majority of people wear their seatbelt. I mean, nobody's policing that. It's just you and your car. And if you get stopped by a cop, you'll get a ticket. But, you know, not the same difference, really. Wearing a mask protects you, but it also protects other people from your spewing of germ-laden spit into the air.
But what I meant by bigotry is that people who, you know, having been having heard it called the China virus by the maggots for
China. China.
Yeah, I think it's actually G-Y-N-A. China.
No, it'd be like Gyna, wouldn't it? Gyna.
Not with a soft G. But the thing is that they would rather focus on who they get to hate than what they need to do about, you know, even if they were right, it came from a lab, even if they were right, it doesn't change the fact that you still have to address the problem.
Yeah, you still have to mitigate the effect, the you know, chance of being infected with a very severe illness, worst we've had on this planet since the Spanish flu. You know, 1917, 1918, when
polio.
Polio. And how do we eradicate polio? It wasn't with herd immunity. It was with vaccines.
Right.
We eradicated smallpox with vaccines, not herd immunity. Natural immunity. You know, immunity is what I'm talking about. Because we got herd immunity with smallpox and polio because of vaccines.
Right, that was the only way it was achieved.
That was the only way it was achieved because it's been a scourge on the human race since, you know, we became the human race.
Well, you know, maybe Brother Deacon Asa has hit on something, Terry. He said, in regard to people believing a conspiracy before they believe the real thing, Brother Deacon Asa said, in the words of the prophet Samuel Clemens, peace be upon him, it's easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled. A lot of truth in that.
Yes, Trump's damn good at it. I think the Republicans are damn good at it. They've always been. Their SOP is fear-mongering in a way that they make fools out of their base, even though their base doesn't know they're being made fools out of them, basically. You and I have seen that throughout our lives.
Sure.
You know, it took me a while to learn that. I stopped voting. I used to vote a split ticket. You know, I would vote Republican and Democrat up until 2000.
And then the scales fell away.
Yeah, and the scales fell away with W's election and how he handled himself in office. I was like, you fucking son of a bitch.
I don't know if you saw, but there was a story out a couple of days ago, speaking of Dim Leader, where I guess some British cabinet official has released a memoir or some papers have been declassified. But in 1998, George W. had a conversation with him and said, you know, and this is back when he was governor of Texas,
he said, you know, I don't really know that much about foreign policy.
Yeah, no. He didn't know much about baseball either, but he owned one. He owned a baseball team and then got to sell it for him. God,
that's some privilege, that Bush privilege.
I know, right? Yeah, but whatever, because, you know, he was the president's son. And people wanted to curry favor with the president, and so they helped out his boy, who couldn't seem to make a go out of much of anything. You know,
kind of a fuck-up if you get right down to it.
Yes, he was, until his early 40s when, bless his soul, his daddy became president. And, oh, my God, did that open up the doors of opportunity for him. Yes, it did.
Bless his heart.
Bless his little heart. You know, he's a failed oil man.
The only man who could drill for oil in the Permian Basin and not find any.
Well, yeah, it happens. About, you know, 25% of all wells that are drilled for oil and gas are dry. Here's that.
Yeah, but that means the other 75% hit. You'd think if he drilled four wells.
No. No. The other 75% hit. Only 25%, one in four. One in four wildcat wells hit.
Oh, okay. I had it back.
75% are dry.
But still, the point remains, if he drilled four holes, one of them was bound to.
Yeah, theoretically, yes. It doesn't always work that way. Of course, you do have to have good geology and engineers and drillers, and there's a lot of things that go into making a well, you know. It said that most wells are dry. That's kind of a misnomer. There are wells that hit. They're just not economic.
Yeah, they're not worth the financial effort that goes in, or there's not enough there to
Right. Yeah. There's oil and gas there, just not in sufficient quantities to make the oil economic.
Well, you know, a lot of
the price of an oil, you know, a barrel of oil or an MCF natural gas. That's what drives it.
We had, and it applies to anything you're really drilling for. Back when we lived in the old Haney place eons ago in the wilds of a very rural county here in West Virginia, we had a water well. And it was 140 feet deep, and the water was crystal clear and beautiful. And you could run your faucet for about 2.5 minutes, and the well went dry.
Yeah, it's still a water well. It's just not sufficient for your needs. You see, that's the difference.
Yeah, meanwhile, the 45-foot deep well had copious amounts of water in it, all of which smelled like rotten eggs.
Well, there's that too, yes. Damn good well, just don't drink it.
Well, that's what you get for drilling for water in an oil and gas patch.
Well, yeah, it is.
Back in the day, I think I dropped some several thousands of dollars on a water treatment system. I had my own little water treatment plant and had to constantly dump bags of rock salt into this one part of it. And there were two tanks that looked like the booster tanks on the side of the space shuttle. And that was the only way we had decent water. Carried a lot of water into the house back then.
Well, yeah. I mean, drinking from a well that is less than 100 feet below the surface is a bad idea. Rule of thumb.
Just a bad idea. Explain that, would you? Why is
that? Well, because, you know, you get down a little deeper and, you know, the water's had a bigger chance of percolating through the soil and acted upon by bacteriological organisms to clean it up and eat all the nasty stuff that might be in the water in the first place. And also you may get past some impermeable zones that keep the water from the surface from percolating down to the lower aquifers rapidly.
Because there are also things like E. coli.
That's thousands of years old, basically. You want to drink water that's thousands of years old.
And it's curious, we've moved into water now, because while I was down there...
What a segue.
I'm good at that. While I was down there, and I was wandering around the Publix, because I popped in there long enough to get some sourdough before we left Florence, you know, they've got one of the end caps is stuff produced in Alabama. And so I got a bottle of Sneaky.
Self-produced in Alabama.
Yeah, you know, the groceries from Alabama. And there were some craft beers. And I got a, and there was, of course, Dreamland barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And there was, I brought home a bottle of Sneaky Pete's hot dog sauce.
Oh, good stuff. I like
it. Yeah, isn't it?
It is. God, oh my. I love to dip chicken fingers, fried chicken fingers into it. Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, goodness me. I didn't even think. Well, I'm glad I've got the one bottle. But I also.
Oh, yeah, honey. It's, that's my favorite dip for chicken fingers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also picked up 6 bottles, and I'm down to my last one now. 6 bottles of Blue Spring Living Water. This is not a product placement, but I like it. And the pitch.
Is it truly spring water?
You know, here's the pitch on the back. Living water. And I don't know if I want living water, you know, because that usually means things like, you know, Giardia, E. coli. But no, Blue Spring waters are unlike any water you've ever tasted. Purified only by time, pressure, and the Earth's own design, these naturally complete living waters remain in perfect balance with the natural world. The result is water that tastes exactly as nature intended, raw, wild, and alive.
Okay, I don't want water that's alive. That sort of indicates it's teeming with
critters.
Bacteria and critters and whatnot, and I would prefer none of that to be in my water. Of course, the whole term of living water kind of evolved out of Christianity and even the Jewish faith, because when John the Baptist, who was obviously a Jew, baptized people, it always had to be in living water. Living water in the Jewish faith was water that moved, like the Jordan River moving.
Right.
Water.
So he would have had a bone to pick with, say, the Essenes that had, you know, out in the Dead Sea, and they had a bunch of bath compounds. So that wouldn't.
Yeah, that was dead water. You know, if you got baptized in a tank, like you do in the majority of churches across this great land of America, you weren't really baptized because you were baptized in dead water.
Well, I'll be dipped. Literally.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why women at their time of month would be sent off to the red tent.
Yep.
Because they had dead blood. Live blood was good. You sacrificed live blood with an animal and whatnot. Live blood was good. Dead blood, yeah, that was bad. You were unclean if you had dead blood.
Almighty has some real hang-ups, if you ever notice. So
it was all about being clean. It was weird, the whole purification thing.
Well, it was a dirty place. It was a dirty, you know, gritty, sandy, clean, nasty, hot, filthy clean, desert.
Holy, and all these ritual things that came up. I mean, we still kind of have that today with all the ritual stuff, especially in the Catholic Church and the higher churches with the liturgy and, you know, all that.
The incense.
We humans love that because we don't have to think. We don't have to think. We love not thinking. To be the higher brained, you know, ape, but the most intelligent, we are a race. We love when people tell us what to do. I don't want to think about it. Just tell me what to do, and that absolves me of all responsibility because, well, you told me what to do. That was a big excuse in the Nuremberg trials in Nazi Germany. I was just following orders.
Exactly. So just to go back to my bottle of Blue Spring Living Water real quick.
sorry, I went off on the
That's damage. Okay. 300 years from source to sip. That's another thing on the label. And because you know your Alabama geography, it comes from Blount County.
Ooh. Limestone in Blount County. Lots of limestone. Oh, by the way, I'm on the Friday on the Porch.
Yeah, I saw you pop in there and
okay,
spark.
People are like, yes. Tell Robin we're waiting.
Oh, yeah, and Stacey, I sent the message saying connect please. That's me. So,
oh, that's you. Okay. Well, what's the deal?
Sparky wields the lightsaber around the extraordinary ordinary round table that we keep in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves.
Yes.
And Elves pacing, yeah. Sparky has to initiate the call, and I'm waiting for that to happen.
Ah,
And while we wait for the call to initiate, this is a very and I'll thank you again. This is a very special evening for me, because it's a 1 year anniversary.
Detail. Of what?
Well, of the evening that you said that I would be the that I would be the first guest of 2021 on Trans Talk Rock.
That's it, which is defunct at the moment because of my former co-host. But
working on that, working on the triumphant return.
Yes. Triumphant being the key word.
Yeah. Sparky said, "Hang on, the group is getting the group is too large, and he had to remove people." So,
oh my God, remove people!
Yeah, there we go. Okay, so we are.
So this is a Republican chat group. We're
giving people. Hey! Play nice, girl.
Just
keeping it real. No, yeah. So we are connected now. So. I trust that things
trust holes and whatnot. Yes, yeah. one needs to clean the place up occasionally. You have bots and trolls and whatnot.
So let's pop in and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
We can hear you.
All right. I got a message that the group was too large and I had to remove some people.
Wow.
Ooh. How do you vet people to remove?
Well, I didn't remove people. It just won't ring them.
Oh, okay.
So they weren't there in the first place.
No, I just got a message from Skype. The group was too large.
Huh. Have we ever seen that before?
No, there's 28 people that I've listed for the call. So join back in, and if it kicks you, I'm sorry.
It happens, you know.
Terry is connected through Messenger because I didn't want to mess up the Skype group, and then the Skype group is in on another channel.
Of course, I am on the Skype group as well. But
yeah, you're in there, but I don't think you're on the call, are you?
Yeah. I think I'm just on the chat. I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually. Or I muted myself. I might be on the call, but I muted myself.
She's not on the call. It doesn't show on my list of her being on the call.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think I needed to be with you, Robin, and also audio on.
Yeah, that could get confusing real quick for, at least for me.
Plus audio issues of delay.
So anybody that's listening, just click join call. Either that, or I have to try and ring everybody that I have on the list, and I know Asa doesn't want to join, so I'm not ringing him.
Right. Do you know? I saw that our dear friend John Bridevo is having interesting. That Terry and I were talking about water. Our pal John Bridevo is having water issues. Have you heard as to whether or not they got that sorted?
No. The last thing I heard, they were going to pull the well.
Pull the pump, yeah.
We pull the pump.
How deep was it?
I wanted to tell him yesterday, if he'd turn the power off and then turn the power on and check the run winding, make sure it's trying to start. I mean the start winding, because there's three wires that go down to a pump. There's a start winding, a run winding, and then the ground.
And if any one of those goes south.
Yeah, because my pump went out, starting to go out 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, whenever it was. And I troubleshot the thing and then got a well driller out, and I told him exactly what it was doing. And he says, "It sounded like you troubleshot it." And I said, "Yeah, I know what's wrong. It's drawing too much current when it's trying to start up. It won't run. It's supposed to run at 9 amps, and it's running at 12 amps." So he brought me out a new pump, put it in, everything was fine because I couldn't run two sprinklers at the same time, or it would kick out, the pump would overheat and it'd kick out or something.
Well, based on what Terry was talking, how deep is your well?
My well, I don't know. It's not very deep. Well, my neighbor's well that I'm running off of now is 140 feet deep, and then they dropped the pump at 100 feet.
Did you have the well drilled, Sparky?
No, I need to get a well drilled, but you can't get a well driller right now.
Why?
Because they're so busy. And one of the well drilling companies, well drilling ring was wrecked in an accident, and they were rebuilding it. And so happens the guy that delivered my wood last time, he works for his father, and on off days delivering wood, and he also works for this well company. And so he told me, he said, we're going to have that rig up and running again, but what we're going to do is we're going to map out everywhere the people need wells drilled. And he told me the lady across the street from me, in his mind, she needed a well drill. And I said, that was funny. She had a well pump company out there a couple weeks ago. But anyway, he said, if we get more people in this neighborhood, then when we move in to do one, we'll do them all. Because they don't want to move the drilling rig. And so that's probably happening right now with other well drilling companies. I couldn't even get people to answer the phone for a while. And then I got this company that this guy worked for before he come out, and I talked to a guy and he said, well, everybody's like 8 months to a year out. And then he goes, it'll be 6 months before we even get our rig back running again. And this was...
Damn, that sounds like a growth industry, Sparky.
Back in September.
Well, you know, not necessarily everybody can be a well driller, depending on the state and various, registration and license and whatnot. In Alabama, you can't be a licensed well driller unless you have worked under a licensed well driller for 5 years.
Well, then this guy was telling me what they were going through. They had to get it. The truck and everything was destroyed when they had to wreck. And so they had to take the whole rig off the frame of that destroyed truck. And they had to get a new truck that had the same dimensions and everything. And they found one back east somewhere.
Do you live in West Virginia, Sparky?
No, Sparky's in California, Northern California.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with the droughts happening. That's why everybody's having well problems.
Yeah, geology out there is a hell of a lot more complicated.
But anyway, now we got this winter coming, and everybody in the mountains has got dumped on, and then...
12 feet of snow in Lake Tahoe? That was,
Yeah, and Squeaky was typing. He lives in Placerville, which is down below the Sierras. I mean, on the Highway 50, the road that goes to Lake Tahoe, and they get snow there. I mean, he's at the snow line, basically, and they got snow, and it's melted off now. But he said they're supposed to be getting a rain. A warm rain coming in, it's going to melt a whole bunch of snow really quick, so we might have floods in certain areas.
Yeah, so yeah, because when it runs away like that, it doesn't sink into the earth; it just runs off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rule of thumb is like a foot of snow equals an inch of rain, something like that, roughly.
Robin, I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
I mean, my Christmas really sucked.
I know.
Because I was all alone, but I was supposed to have been not alone because I had met somebody online. They were supposed to come down from Oregon just before Christmas and stay because she wanted to get away from the snow. Well, she wasn't quick enough, and she got snowed in. She showed me pictures yesterday. She's got a metal roof on her house. She had like 5-foot icicles hanging off that roof.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
And there was like three feet of snow on her garage. She sent me a picture. She had a friend come over, a male friend, that she knows, and he was up on the roof clearing the snow off her garage. But she's just pissed because every time she gets it, she's got two snow blowers, and only one she can run. She lost her husband earlier in 2021, so she's all alone, except for a little dog. But anyway, she worked one of the snow blowers, but she said it just wore her out. So anyway, they've been dumping on. And then I get a message from my niece in Sandpoint, Idaho. And I told her about this gal. And she goes, well, did she come down for Christmas? And I said, no, because she was snowed in. And then she said, well, we're snowed in, too, up in Sandpoint, Idaho. So it's all over the Pacific Northwest. They got dumped on with snow.
Jeez. And this is, you know, all the scientists, and we're kind of back to the plot of Don't Look Up. All the scientists have told us this is exactly what to expect.
And it was 67 degrees in Kodiak, Alaska the other day.
Yeah. And they've even coined a term in Alaska for what's going on. They're calling it Icemageddon. Because warm weather and everything, further into the interior,
I'm okay. How are you?
They got slammed. And 67 degrees.
Carrie's on a phone call.
Yeah, I muted her for a moment.
Okay.
67 degrees Fahrenheit on Kodiak Island, and then they got an inch of rain in just a couple of hours in the interior, and then the temperatures fell again and everything froze. It's screwed with the air traffic out of SeaTac in Seattle. There was localized flooding that forced evacuations in some areas around LA. And you meanwhile, Sparky, you got a sleet storm, right?
Yes.
Jesus.
You should have seen my front lawn. And I mean, the thunder was unbelievable. I mean, it was rolling thunderbird. It went from east to west, back to east. And Grady was just freaked out. He was hiding in the bathroom.
And you know, the only reason there haven't been frogs raining down is supply chain issues. They can't get the frogs.
Can't get the frogs, yeah.
So, yeah, but they'll find them for San Diego, trust me.
And QAnon's got all the blood for the rivers of blood, so we're out on that.
It's you can't even buy a face of a child mask. All the stores are just plumb sold out. God damn. I think nature is trying to tell us something. Mother Earth is like nudging us, tugging our sleeve, you know, collectively.
Yeah, because I checked in with the LGBTQQIA plus community, and nobody was out there sending tornadoes or hurricanes or fires or floods or devastating snow or anything.
Well, it's all that Proposition 8 thing, Robin. I'm just telling you, ever since then, nothing's been right.
And then they're talking, Chris Hayes had that guy on the other night, they're talking about that ice shelf in Antarctica.
Oh, yeah.
That's holding gone. Back this massive glacier. That ice shelf gives way, that glacier goes.
And that's gone in the next, 5 years or so.
And it says sea level around the world will raise 10 feet if that glacier goes.
Hey, I might get seafront property after all.
Hell, I might wind up with it. you ever drop too much ice in a glass of Kool-Aid?
Oh yeah,
well, it's only going to raise 10 feet.
Well, I'm at 22 feet above sea level, so or 21 where I am. I don't know. All of this could have been avoided if we had just listened to scientists. And reasonable, level-headed, reality-based people. I mean, it's
that's kind of the theme of Don't Look Up.
But no, motherfuckers. I'm sorry. Now you got me all negative.
Got you all worked up, dang it.
All worked up and negative. Jeez. Anyway, somebody take the baton. I'm going to sit down a while. Oh, I just made ice so I can have drinks.
Oh, and by the way, Scott, that was very well placed. Since we were talking about the passing of the Mary Tyler Moore cast, and of course
Valerie Harper
passed in 2019 as
Georgia
Randy Radar.
Engel.
Yeah.
But
what you sent was so apropos, as Chuckles the Clown used to say, a little song, a little dance, a little seltzer down your pants.
Yeah, here's your living waters. That'll liven up any group. But yeah, I don't know of any TV show of that magnitude that lost. I mean, granted, we're all older, you know, the demographic. Demographics were working against them, but Ed Asner and Betty White and Gavin McLeod and who was the other one?
Floris Leachman.
Blucher. You know. Yeah.
he was my boyfriend.
Jeez.
Put the candle back.
The only person I can remember from that show who's still around in terms of adults, the guy who played the father on the one with J.J. Walker, the Evans family, John Amos.
John Amos.
I think he's still around.
And you know the great big antiquated falling apart coal fried power plant down there in the Kanawha Valley. Just west of Charleston, is the John Amos Power Plant.
The same guy?
I don't think so, but I prefer to believe it is.
Yeah. I saw him once in a Bruce Willis movie, one of the Die Hard movies, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where he's like a corrupt military guy who's going to... John Amos was like the commander of the group that was trying to screw with Bruce Willis and turn off the power at Dulles Airport. Do you remember that movie? Or did I dream it?
No, that's... Oh, anyway. God, which one is that? Yeah.
I think it's Die Hard 2, because Die Hard 3 is in New York City and Die Hard 1 is in L.A., the Nakaguchi Tower or whatever the fuck that was.
It was Die Hard 2.
Well, that's all I know, so I'll shut up now.
Well, I got a bone to pick with Steve.
Oh, yeah?
And Joe Stan and Jeremy.
Oh, Alexa?
Yeah, Alexa.
And she ruined your life.
Not yet, but she's working on it.
Sorry, it's just...
Jeremy started telling me about the light bulbs that can change colors and all that stuff. So I started out with one, then I got four, and I just got four more in the mail today. But the thing about Alexa is pissing me off is that she keeps turning the lights on during the daytime when you walk anywhere near, because she picks up the vibrations in the floor or something when you walk, and all of a sudden the lights come on.
And you don't
tell her to turn them on. They just come on their own. It's like it's got a mind of their own.
That's why it's called artificial intelligence.
I'll tell you what. Never hook your Alexa up to your Craftmatic bed. I had a poor a friend, an older gentleman, who got squished up and turned around and pretzelized because his Alexa went haywire and just... Well, we had to... It took four undertakers a week to stretch him out.
The bitch is listening to me right now.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Okay.
Steve wants me to get an Alexa. Now, Robin. And
Steve's get an Alexa.
Steve's a true believer.
I know he is. And then I sent him this news thing from the other day. A 10-year-old kid, Alexa gave
him a challenge. Oh, my God. I saw that.
To stick a fork in an electrical outlet. Well, God damn. I mean, do I need this? I mean.
No, but slow down. Back up. That was a real thing.
Yes.
A 10-year-old girl said, Alexa, give me a challenge. And Alexa responded and told her to pull a plug part of the way out of the wall socket and touch a fork to the prong.
You're kidding me.
No.
No, it was a real food story. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is what we need.
And I didn't realize it until a couple of days ago. This is along the same lines, but not really. The Teletubbies have been rebooted. Remember the Teletubbies in the 90s? They were ever so creepy.
Jerry Falwell.
Yes.
Jerry Falwell got upset about Tinky Winky because Tinky Winky was purple and had a triangle on top of it, of its head, and carried a purse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, Jerry, they're gayifying our children. But way back when we bought it was Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, and Poe. And the only thing that was left on the shelves one Christmas was Poe, and it was a talking Poe. And oh, I swear, and Annette would back me up on this. We were getting ready for Christmas and just wanted to see what Poe had to say. And we pushed the little button, and Poe said, I got a gun. I got a gun. I'm not kidding. Like, nope, kid's not going to get this one.
Now, give us the names of the Teletubbies again. See, I'm astonished that you know this.
And
he's a walking encyclopedia. Why wouldn't he know it?
She, but that's okay. The Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, and Poe. And Poe was kind of the Eeyore of the bunch, you know. Eeyore's not the sunniest of dispositions. You know, thanks for noticing me. And Poe was always kind of grim, too.
What are the Spice Girls' names?
Let's see. There's Scary Spice, Posh Spice.
You want me to ask Alexa?
No.
Rancid Spice.
And Skanky and Spice. Pumpkin. I don't know.
And Pumpkin Spice.
No. Oh, Jesus. Not Pumpkin. Oh, please. We're past that season. Don't. If you say that two more times, it'll be Thanksgiving 2022 before you know it. Jesus. Hey, Terry, are you still there, dear?
She said you were on a phone call.
Tracy's here.
Oh, hey.
Somebody's got their camera on.
Oh, okay. Terry, just come on back when...
Kevin.
Yeah, come on back.
That's
when,
Kevin with the camera.
Yeah.
That's not sorry me about that, with guys. The camera. That's not me with the camera.
It shows that it is.
My camera is inserted into my computer. It's not up. So unless you see me talking right now, it's
we see you talking right now.
Well, I don't know how, but I'll fix it.
Is somebody there with you?
Is someone there with me?
Yeah, because there's somebody in the camera shot.
Oh, Sporty, no, Sporty Spice. Thanks, Ron and Raleigh. Sporty Spice.
That's not me. And my Skype says my camera's off.
Huh.
Okay, I'm looking for the person.
Well, oh, by the way, Ron and Raleigh points out the funny thing about Cloris Leachman. The week she died, she also died on American Gods. She died in fiction before she died in real life.
Turn off your camera or I'll delete you.
It's a woman with glasses, dark hair, and a purple top, a reddish purple top. Who's staring at the camera right now, the woman is.
But she has her mic muted.
And
I'm sorry. I was wrong. That's Kevin and Tracy. That's not Kevin in Colorado Springs. That's Kevin and Tracy. Y'all have your camera
on. Well, they need to unmute their mic and turn their camera off, or I'm going to delete them.
Kevin and Tracy.
Kill it. Yeah. Don't make Sparky use the lightsaber.
Gotta behave now.
Yeah. Can you hear us, Kevin and Tracy?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm trying to shut it off. Hold on a second.
Okay.
We got some nice shrimp cocktail with that Italian hot sauce.
Yeah, isn't it? All that stuff's awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
Hold
on a second.
Yeah,
there's a candle icon at the bottom of your screen. Just hit it.
Yeah, this is like a disaster movie where you're trying to figure out whether to cut the red or the green wire.
Yeah, this is until I don't know if Steve and George stands here, but this is why I don't want Alexa. I don't want a machine to be smarter than me. You know, wake up and there's a living room full of tribbles.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm sorry,
the
Scott.
One thing that's great about this Alexa, it's making me learn how to use a smartphone.
Well, that's good.
I'm stuck with my wife's smartphone for another year or so. So I don't know. So I'm learning how to use it. But I have to have the Alexa app on the smartphone and then the app for the light bulbs to turn them on and off. But then once you get it hooked up, you can't control them.
Sparky, okay, are these light bulbs in your lamps and stuff, or are they in the Alexa?
No, they're in my lamps or lights. I got
the bulbs themselves are smart.
Yes.
No shit. Well, hand the New York Times crossword over to them and see if they can get 22 across. Because I'm stumped.
Hey, Robin, we good?
We're good.
Man, you're gonna love this. You'd love this cocktail sauce.
Did you make it from scratch?
Of course I did.
Yes, of course you did. Why would I even ask such a silly thing?
I mean, really?
But I tell you, so you dosed it. Is there horseradish in there too?
Horseradish, the Italian hot sauce, lemon juice, and that's it.
Yeah.
Copious quantities of everything.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought ever so briefly about I love the snow crab legs this time of year, you know, New Year's Eve, kind of special. And I thought ever so I saw them and I walked up to them thinking, oh, that could be no. Because I think one paltry little tray of Alaskan king crab legs was like $36.
Rip off.
Yeah, oh yeah. And the prepackaged corned beef. And you know, those things, they look sizable, you know, in the package and everything with the brine around them. But you put them in the oven and they shrink up to, like, you know, the size of a sausage patty. And those were $25. So finally at Wally World, I found a whole untreated brisket. Because I can do my magic on that, and it came in for less than two of the packaged corned beefs that it would have taken to feed us all. So early in the morning, it'll go on the smoker at about 200 degrees, and go all day. And toward the end, I'll smoke the cabbage. Which is not a euphemism for any sort of illicit drug use.
If it's still illicit, you're in the wrong state.
Well, it's still illicit. That's the problem. Someday, maybe.
Danny, I got a bone to pick with Terry over the tallest mountain.
Oh,
Terry, you still there?
You've been. I think. Are you there, Terry?
Do what? The tallest mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roger's been hanging on to this like a junkyard dog with a bone for about a month now.
Well, you know,
about a month ago, you said that Hawaii, I believe you said Hawaii was the tallest mountain. And my bone is
Hawaii, the Marianas Trench. Hawaii is not a mountain, per se. It's a state.
Well, the big island of Hawaii. Okay? Is that a little better? Anyhow, Maloa. My contention is that Guam is the tallest from base to top, because its base is the Marianas Trench at some 39,000, was it 39,000 feet below sea level that it comes up.
Oh,
and no, it's more than that. Anyhow, but my contention is that Guam is the tallest from base to top.
You want to take a run at that?
Well, let me look up the Mariana Trench.
Because Guam is one of the Marianas Islands.
It is. That's true.
I mean, there's Saipan, Tinia, Rota, Guam.
We can play the Jeopardy theme now.
Did you know that has a title, Robin? A piece of music?
Answer incoming.
Map.
Alexa, tell me about Marianne.
Don't. Oh, Joey, you bailed out, buddy.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Now, don't, Sparky.
No. Sorry. Mariana Trench doesn't qualify as a point to start measurement from.
But that's the base.
No, it's not the base. No, it's not. Sorry.
It's adjacent?
It's adjacent, but it's not the base. The trench is the trench. It's like, you know, if you have a house that's sitting on a cliff, the base of your foundation is not the bottom of the cliff.
That's what I suspected.
So, I mean, the Hawaiian Islands are sitting on, you know, the middle of a plate. I mean, it's odd to have a volcano in the middle of a continent, you know, a plate of Earth. And it comes from a hot spot in the mantle. And so the ocean floor is the base. There's no trench or anything. It's just the ocean floor. And that's where the Hawaiian Islands are measured from. So mountains above the surface, most, you know, you measure Mount Everest, you measure from sea level.
Well, that's only because it doesn't have a continuous slope up from its base.
Well, I mean, elevations of terrestrial mountains are always measured from sea level. That is the protocol. If you know, you're going on your conjecture, well, you could measure everything from the Mariana Trench, basically. Let's measure everything. You know, the deepest part of the ocean floor, I think, but we don't do that. And so, I mean, the traditional elevation of Mauna Loa or Kilauea or Big Island is from sea level. But if you measure it from its base, which is the ocean floor, it has a greater elevation
than even Everest.
Than even Everest, yes.
Yeah, because I think measuring from sea level here, I think I'm at about 1,800 feet, something like that.
Yeah, probably something like that. Highest point in the Appalachians is not quite 7,000. So.
Yeah, it's Mount. In fact, Joey was writing about Mount Washington in New England a couple of days ago, and it's part of the Appalachians.
It's not Mount Washington. It's in either Tennessee or North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then let's take another measurement and say which mountain is tallest.
Not going to give up, are you, Roger?
Measured from the Earth's core.
Yeah, it's Mount Mitchell in North Carolina. It's the highest point.
Oh, okay, yeah.
6,684 feet.
So Mount Washington in New England is not part of the Appalachians?
Yes, it is part of the Appalachians. It's just not the highest point.
Oh, okay. I thought okay. So Joey, there was an error then in Joey's journal a couple of days ago. He cited it as the highest point east of the Mississippi.
Oh no, it's absolutely part of the Appalachians, just not the highest point.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 6,288 feet.
We'll get a fact checker to get an email into Joey.
So 400 feet difference, something like that. It's still a high point. It's just not the highest point.
Yeah, but can you see?
The Appalachians go all the way to Maine too.
Right.
They kind of go all the way.
The real benchmark is anybody who's ever driven around down south knows this. The real benchmark is, can you see seven states?
Yeah, there you go. Was it Klingman's Dome?
No, Sea Rock City.
Sea Rock City. No, that's actually in the Fallon Ridge. Technically, the Appalachians. Appalachians are more in the Piedmont.
And I don't think we even know where that word comes from.
The Piedmont?
No, Piedmont I know.
Appalachian, that's got to be a Native American word. It's got to be.
Bound to be, yeah. Same with Allegheny.
Yeah. It's just like we kicked them all off their land and appropriated all their names.
Yeah. Kept the names.
Well, Piedmont and Allegheny are Native American names for defunct airline companies.
Well played.
All right.
No, there's a really wonderful speculative fiction book, historical fiction, by a guy named James Alexander Tom called Children of First Man. And it deals with the old myth, and Terry, maybe you've heard of this because it's down in your neck of the woods. The legend of Prince Madoc. The Welshman, bastard son of Owen Wyneth, who fled Wales during civil wars and allegedly wound up sailing up Mobile Bay in around, you know, the 1000 AD or CE era. And he speculated that the word Allegheny is an elision of Owen Wyneth's land. It's a fascinating book. It's absolutely wonderful to read. I won't do any spoilers in case anybody wants to read it. Let me check email here for a minute.
What's the name of that book?
Children of First Man.
Is there a comet in it?
Children of First Man.
No comets, okay. but there are some bloodthirsty white people.
Aren't there always?
Yeah, right. Thank you very kindly to Dave and the Blind and Christine. Dave says, Chris and I wish you a happy anniversary. We see you happier new year. Thank you. Thank you both. That's so sweet. It was wonderful talking to Christine. Let's see here. We've started a real mountain discussion here. Randy Radar pointing out Mount Washington has some of the world's worst weather, including a record for the highest wind gust. I don't know if that holds now after the damned hurricane force winds that blew through Colorado. We are coming up on the end of the second hour of the program. We've got $150 worth of challenges on the table. It would be wonderful if those could be met because we're down to $800 to go. Thanks very kindly earlier on to Larry. Thank you.
And hopefully those challenges will be met, and we will finish 2021 where we ought to be. Let's bounce around the room a little bit and see if anybody's got other stuff to offer up. There's Joey. Joey, you're back in the room. Are you there? Maybe not. Joey sent a thumbs up. Okay.
His mic is muted.
Yeah, I know. He has to unmute. I don't know. He may not be able to unmute. Okay, I think that means, yes, he can't unmute.
Got a new person called Feliz Natal.
Oh, Feliz Natal. That's Steve. That's Steve in New York.
Oh, he keeps changing his name.
I know. That's how I know it's him. For a while he was God Save the Queen or something. Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin in Colorado Springs, or
you're on. Okay, we're a little discombobulated this evening.
For the record, Feliz Natal means Merry Christmas.
Yes, I kind of gathered that from the star in the east there in your avatar.
Is that kind of a religious thing?
Well, yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's why I don't know it.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas. You don't know Merry Christmas?
I know Merry Christmas, but the other thing
is that Portuguese or something, Steve?
Yeah, it's Portuguese. Portuguese, yeah.
Wasn't the star in the east a very rare confluence of several planets?
I don't know that there really was one.
Or a comet. My understanding is that there was a comet that would have been around that time.
Yeah, Chinese astronomers kept records that go back that far.
Yeah, there's and nothing remember, that really matches the point of time and records kept by the various civilizations of Earth at the time. Nothing matches what would be described as, you know, the star over Bethlehem.
But it makes for a nice story.
Oh, it does, yeah. You know, something that stayed around for a while because of the myth of the, you know, three wise kings that followed the star to Bethlehem from the Far East, which would have took days or possibly a month or whatever. So it had to be around for a long time, such that it would have been a notable feature in the heavens that the astronomers all around the world would have noted.
One of the best explanations of it is in an Arthur C. Clarke short story called, curiously enough, The Star.
Oh, yeah, the one where they find the planet where the civilization left their records and stuff from the super, because they knew the sun was going to go supernova.
And so there's a like a Jesuit priest on the mission, and yeah. he's horrified to realize that God Almighty wiped out an entire brilliant civilization in order to tell three dudes on camels how to get to Bethlehem.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the same kind of deity that would wipe out, that would take out Betty White on New Year's Eve, frankly.
And the three wise guys.
It was just
up,
their time to go.
That showed up at the manger were quoted as saying, "What do you mean it's a girl?" But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It's a girl. Well, you know, I've taken to referring to Jesus as they, them.
Well, the Trinity. you know.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit was always is always in the feminine gender.
God, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, Trinity. So yeah, they them is perfectly appropriate. And
yeah,
as
now
you said, Robin, the Holy Ghost is often termed in a feminine way. God and God themselves is often termed as feminine, is a, you know, a mother hen that guards her chicks and other allusions to motherhood and whatnot. So.
Well, the Trinity was explained to me once as being similar to an egg. The aspects of an egg are the shell, the yolk, and the white.
And they're all egg.
And they're all egg.
And what was it? Was it Curly that got to eat the shell and the ham bone? Yeah.
And a mighty omelet is our Lord.
And, you can see now where the Madison Avenue types got their early advertising campaign for certs. Three gods in one.
Jesus.
Three gods in one. Yeah.
And there will not be a Peter pulling competition at St. Taffy's. That's a typo.
Yeah, I read the blooper book when I was little, too. There'll be a Peter pulling contest at St. Taffy's Church. Oh, I sat there and just hee-hawed and cackled. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Hubert Heaver.
Wow. Happy New Year, everybody.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How's Miss Tracy?
Miss Tracy is sitting on her ass right now, doing absolutely nothing and contemplating what I'm going to do for the rest of the weekend, which will probably be absolutely nothing. I'm just glad that I got home from New Orleans.
Alexa, thankfully. What's the score of the Alabama football game?
Did you what? Oh, I'm just glad that I got home. I'm, you know, with all the flights being canceled and everything. Is somebody talking?
Like a TV.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just glad that I got home safely from New Orleans, and even though our flight was delayed like three times, and I was surrounded by crying babies, and we were stuck on a tarmac for an hour after we landed, I still had a good time. I'm just glad to be home. And because I, you know, all the flights being canceled left and right, yeah, I didn't care that my flight was delayed. I was just glad that I got home. Because I see that they're still canceling flights like crazy. So that part. How was everybody's holiday?
Didn't have one.
Ours was quiet. You know, to the extent that we were on the road and listening to Christmas music. And
hey, Robin, I got to go.
Oh, okay.
I got to fix supper. So, Happy New Year!
Oh, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Thank you, thank you for joining me for the anniversary.
Honey, anytime. Anniversary or not.
Well, a million thanks, sister. A million thanks.
You're welcome, honey. You have a good New Year's Eve, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Say hi. Say hi when they come over.
You bye. Know I will.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes.
Tracy.
Yes.
I just want to tell you, I had a great. I got my Christmas gift was COVID.
The what? Are you fucking kidding me?
Nope. Yeah, so I had to stay home. I couldn't go see my partner in Canada. So, can you guys hear the dog?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, let me try to quash this. I'm going to put on mute. I apologize.
Well, I just found out today that, speaking of COVID, my aunt who refused to get vaccinated has COVID.
Oh.
And she's the guardian of my nephew, so of course he hasn't been vaccinated either. So and my aunt is morbidly obese. She has diabetes, high blood pressure.
all sorts of stuff.
These are not good signs. No offense.
No, no. And it's, and I literally begged her. I don't get into people's business when it comes to certain things. But for this, I literally begged her to get vaccinated. And she said she'd think about it. And I kind of got to her because it was a couple of weeks ago. I went and got my hair done, and the guy that does my hair isn't far from her. So I called her up and I said, hey, auntie, you know, I'm going to be in the area. How about I come through and we have breakfast before my hair appointment? And she's like, okay. And then I realized, I said, wait, have you been vaccinated yet? And she's like, no. I'm like, well, great. Because the rest in LA, you cannot go into a restaurant without being vaccinated. I mean, not just, you know, it's not like in, we're in New Orleans, you had to be vaccinated or a negative COVID test. But here in LA, they don't do negative COVID tests anymore. You have to be both shots vaccinated before they'll let you into indoor spaces. Not all, but like restaurants and stuff like that. Grocery stores still no. You don't, you know, you don't, you just still have to be masked, but you don't have to be, you don't have to show proof of vaccination. But other buildings, yep. You have to be, you know, show proof of vaccination. And so we couldn't go to breakfast because, you know, not vaccinated. And my mom called me this morning to tell me that she has COVID.
Oh, no.
I'm terrified for her.
Yes. And no, to no small degree, a little bit pissed off.
I'm beyond pissed off. I'm in another realm past pissed off because it wasn't necessary. And then I have a nephew who I actually convinced to get vaccinated, right? But his girlfriend didn't get vaccinated. They're both sick, but his symptoms aren't as severe because he got vaccinated. She, on the other hand, did not get vaccinated. You know,
what's the reason? Yeah,
I have to do more research.
Right, wait. That crawls all over me like poison ivy.
Mm-hmm.
Who's tapping on their microphone?
I don't, you know, I'm not. Oh, sure that's Joe.
Yeah, that's Joey.
I'm not sure if I trust it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, especially my aunt. She was in the service. And she still, she had to get vaccinated. If you went to school in LA Unified School District for the last, 30, 40, 50 years, I don't know, you had to show proof of vaccination before you were able to go to school. So these people all of a sudden having issues.
Can I ask a question, Tracy?
Sure.
I mean no disrespect, but is she church people?
No.
Damn, that takes that excuse away. I mean, because
she's not church people. She's not NOI. Nah.
Not HOTEP.
Not HOTEP.
That's, who poisoned her mind?
I don't know. I don't know if it was her son, because he didn't get the vaccination either. And now, because they were all hanging out all last week, and they went to, because he has two daughters, and he's married. They didn't get vaccinated, you know. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand. The whole thing behind not getting vaccinated is terrifying to me. And I mean, I understand, you know, how black about the real life, realized and irrational fear and distrust, mistrust of the medical system in the United States as it pertains to Black folk.
Yeah, okay, but we you and I went over that one evening. I mean, even if you're and rightfully so, grievously infuriated and horrified by the Tuskegee experiment, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. And because when I told, you know, especially, you know, because me and my educated brain, there are people, Black folks, who thought that the men that were medical terrorism during the Tuskegee thing was experiment was that it was that syphilis was given to them.
Yeah, that's not true.
It was not.
They already had it.
They already had it, and they just were never treated for it.
Because one part were the control group, and the other part was. The ethics of it were disastrous and horrifying. Well, you know what? You need to check out last night's podcast, Tracy, because I had a but there was a really interesting comparison and contrast between some legislation that got signed into effect in New York versus a conniption being that's taking shape on the right under the new rubric medical Marxism.
Oh, God.
Medical racial Marxism.
Okay. Can you give me the Reader's Digest version?
Yeah, I can try. Basically, and it came from Fucker Carlson's outfit, but they're arguing that when the Biden administration said that vaccines needed to be prioritized into communities of color, that was racial medical Marxism. Instead of the very simple common sense answer that you get vaccines into areas that are burning up with the damn disease.
But that kind of sounds like the conversation that I had the other day, but go ahead.
So check it out at your leisure. It's absolutely disgusting. No one should be surprised at how they can take common sense and turn it into some sort of nightmare fantasy where white people are being deprived of they won't even take the goddamn vaccine,
right?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I need to send out some thank yous. Thank you so kindly to Kevin and Tracy. They just wiped out the challenges, and so that gets us down to $500. And Jeremy just jumped in, 10 for Joey's and 10 on the 100. Well, that actually gets us down to $480 to go to finish December, finish 2021, and be a wash for the year. So, by the way, thanks to an anonymous friend last night who finished off the remainder there. So we got 480 to go, and hopefully in the next 51 minutes or so, we'll knock down some more of that. I just heard from our dear sister Jude. Good to hear everyone on this New Year's Eve. Especially Tracy's voice, tired as she sounds, yet grounded. Let's travel another year ahead and become much closer in our friendships with one another. Hear, Jude.
Hear. Well, like I was saying, on my travels, I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, and minding my own business, I had ordered food for Jen and I. I went downstairs to pick it up, and I don't know how this happened, but I think I said something about L.A., being from L.A., and this guy, no, I wasn't talking to him, but he was a white man, so of course he had to interject. He's like, "Oh, I just don't like L.A." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's pretty, you know, hostile." I said, "So why don't you like L.A.? Is it because, I don't know, the traffic or the insincere people?" I'm giving him all these, and he's like, "Well, that's not it."
Opportunities, off ramps.
Off ramps, I don't know, common sense government. I said, "What is it? The liberals, right? It's the liberals, right?" He's like, "Oh, you didn't have to go there." I said, "No, I'm just, you know." And
it's Biloxi, and I know that's where we're going anyway, so we may as well go ahead and get there.
Right. And so I said, you know, this the you know, basically, you know, of course, they talked about COVID and the fact that, you know, I'm tired of masks and why we got to wear masks and it should be our choice and stuff. I said, oh, you mean like our, like a woman's choice to choose?
Pin drop. Tracy, if you don't mind, keep going and keep the conversation going. I will be right back.
Okay. And so I, you know, so the conversation, because he was, I was talking about COVID and, you know, and this is before, of course, I found out that my aunt had COVID. And I was saying how it has disproportionately affected Black and brown people. And he looked at me like I was speaking another language. He's like, well, I don't know if that's true. I said, well, it is true. And I'm a Black person who lives in a city where there's so many more people dying in my community than in other communities because, you know, because he was trying to say that it wasn't because of racism. And I didn't even go there. I said, well, a lot of it is because the lack of access to health care. To decent health care and being able to get the vaccine. And even before the vaccine, actually being able just to get routine health care. Because he was trying to allude to the fact that, you know, what was it that I was blowing things out of proportion and that racism really isn't as bad as it used to be. And he's like, just wait, you know, all the people who are the racists, are you ready for this one, are going to die off. And I said, well, and that, so I said, so you're saying that the young people, there's no racism once the old people die? He's like, yeah. I said, well, what about the Proud Boys? Or the Boogaloo Boys, or the ones from Charlottesville and all that. I said, I didn't see anybody on walkers. With the tiki torches or anything like that. These were young people, young, vital people.
Tracy?
Huh?
If you go to the KKK, and I know you're not going to do it, and I don't blame you, but if you go to the KKK online store, ask this fellow, if you see him again, why they have child-size robes and hoods generation.
We'll see it. Like I said, I will never be in Biloxi. I will never run into this man again.
Yeah, but see, this is how they work. Right. This is how they work. The reason they interject themselves is they're so full of shit that it's like letting off steam from a kettle. They've got to dump it in somebody's lap and hopefully start an argument so they can feel like, well, I sure told her.
Well, see, the problem is, I said, baby. Because he kept coming for Black people, and are you ready for what he because I wasn't gonna back down in my righteous indignation and anger. I said, sweetheart, you know, I'm sorry for what you think, you know, but because I said I don't, when I talk about things, I don't pull shit from out the air, baby. I bring receipts. And I said that everything and anything that I said, you can Google. I said. And go to, you know, Pew Research. You can go to, CDC. All these places I know you don't trust. But these are facts.
Well, there's another side here, and that is, racism isn't as bad as it used to be, so everything's fine. So you're saying that racism that we have today is fine because it's not as bad as it used to be?
Horseshit.
Well, it's kindler, gentler racism. Kindler, don't you see?
Don't you know? And I said, because I'm like, dude, I said, do you have to worry about, I said, because this still happens to me because I drive for a living. I haven't been pulled over in a while, but I don't know any Black person who's ever been pulled over by the police who doesn't get an anxiety attack. Because they don't know if that's one of the good ones that are pulling them over. I said, the worst thing that'll happen to you as a white person being pulled over especially a white man. I said, the worst thing that's going to happen to you, boo, is that you're either going to get a ticket or you might not get a ticket. Either way, those are the only two outcomes for you. Not one of which you will end up in jail for bullshit or die. You know, it's just, you know, or you're just get, if you even get pulled over in the first place.
Well, as a white boy, when I get pulled over, I have an anxiety attack. And I can't imagine being black and getting pulled over as anxious as I feel when I get pulled over.
Right. Not the same.
I agree. It's not the same. It can't be the same.
Can't be the same.
And I'm not worried about dying. I'm worried about how deep a shit I'm going to get into.
It's like how much is that ticket going to be? And is my insurance rate going to go up? And like you said, yep, but least none of that's going to, if that's the least of your problems or the worst of your problems, hey, none of which includes being thrown in jail or being killed or just being pulled out of your car. Because that happened to me. I wasn't paying attention. I made a U-turn on a street where there was a sign that said, no U-turn. I didn't see the sign. I honestly was not paying attention. Right. Under most circumstances, what would have happened? Give me a ticket and let me go about my way. No, I got pulled out. I had to get out of my car. It's on the curb. And they searched my car and all that for a U-turn. Now,
without a warrant, they searched your car?
That
gave them probable cause.
Do you think
she was black?
I was black.
Yeah, but the making an illegal U-turn.
Oh yeah, that's
not probable cause. That's not probable cause to search.
No, right. It's not. But in their minds, it was.
And do you think I was going to say anything?
Exactly. That's what happens.
You know.
Yeah, a lawyer will always tell you. You know, if they say, can we search your car? Your answer is, do you have a warrant? But replying like that can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, so I got out my car and they made me sit on the curb while they searched my car. In the middle of I was in Burbank. And so, you know, that's their way of saying, nigga, what you doing in Burbank? And excuse the N-word, but that's the mentality. Fortunately, I hadn't been drinking or anything. I had been out to dinner with friends.
Yeah, see, 99% of so-called probable cause stops are fishing expeditions for other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, my registration was up to date, you know, was current. I have insurance. I made an illegal U-turn. That's all I did. Didn't warrant me being taken out, made to get out. At least they didn't snatch me out the car. There's that.
Yeah, when that's a victory.
I'm allowed to talk about it.
The bong hits for Jesus bumper sticker.
You know, but it's just when I think about this white man. And then the best part was, you know, because every time he would try to say something, I came back at him with facts and stuff. And then he started in about California's laws about, he's like, well, I have a friend that lives out there and his ex-wife is keeping him from seeing his kids and blah, blah. And he has a page. I said, well, you know, I know that's not indicative to California, that everybody, that doesn't just happen in California. I'm pretty sure it happens all over the country where women keep their exes from seeing their children. So please don't act as though it only happens in California, because he was trying to come at the women then. And I said, did I mention that I'm an Africana studies major when he kept coming at me about, you know, black things and racism? And I said, oh, and did I tell you that I also minored in gender and women's studies? So now what? What do you want to say? And he said, well, you know, you shouldn't come. He was a step away from calling me an angry black woman, but he called, instead of an angry black woman, you know what he called me? He called me a zealot.
Ooh. That's got Middle Eastern connotations, so he's getting close.
Right. And I said, well, baby, I said, well, see, I'm not a zealot. I exercise my opinions based on facts and information and empirical evidence. And I said, so a zealot is somebody who is firmly rooted and will not change their minds about their opinions or what they perceive as facts. I said, if anybody comes to me with facts that to change my what I know is true or think that is true, then I'm going to listen, and then I'm going to change my opinion based on evidence. I said, but a zealot, kind of sounding like what you are, is somebody that no matter how much evidence you give them, they're not going to believe you. To me, that's what a zealot is. I said, maybe I'm wrong in my definition, but I don't think so, buddy.
It's not just not believing. It's people like that won't even allow for the possibility that there's a different way of looking at stuff than right. the way they do.
Right. And I'm like, and like I said, I am, look, if anybody comes at me, because there's a lot of things in my life, especially in the last few years, that I have definitely changed my mind on. Hell, I married a woman. Okay, if that's not a big change.
There is that.
There's that. There's the fact that until I started watching Pose and then actually having a good friend transition, how my whole way of thinking about transgender people have changed radically. Okay, so again, if I was a zealot or anything like that, there's just no way that I would be willing or be happy to change my opinion or my mind about anything, because trust and believe. If somebody had told me 11 years ago that I would be married to a woman, I'd be like, say what?
Now answer me this, Tracy.
Riddle me this, Batman.
What was Mr. Welcome to Biloxi, Chamber of Commerce, had he ever been to California? See, that's yes. the other thing.
Yeah, no, he, I said, have you, and that's what I asked him. I said, have you ever been to California? Have you ever been to Los Angeles? And he's like, yeah. And I said, and then I, because he was going on, I said, if I told him, I said, you know what though, homie? I said, if you actually run into awful people or insincere people while you were visiting LA, it was probably from people who were not born and raised in Los Angeles, because we're a different breed. LA is a transient transplant city. I mean, just the fact that I'm second generation, Angelino, that's huge.
Oh, the people who are from here are just stellar people by and large.
By and large, unless they're, people like Nunez and McCarthy and those motherfuckers, but...
Well, you've got to allow for people having been dropped on their heads from a height at a very young age. I mean, you're always going to have those people.
You're letting them off easy there, baby. But, those people are just pure evil. And I'm like, I said, but by and large, people who are from here, who were born and raised here, there's a whole different kind of vibe, but that I know. I can't speak from the people who are born and raised in Orange County, because I don't know anybody. I actually do not know anybody.
Now, you do too. You know Billable Rick.
Born and raised.
Oh, okay. No. Okay, that qualifier. Yeah, because that's, I wish. Hey, I have to interrupt for a minute. Roll Tide, roll.
Did they win?
Yo, yeah. It wasn't even close. 27-6 over Cincinnati. Cincinnati made the horrible mistake of disrespecting the Crimson Tide in the run-up to the game. And at one point in time, somebody asked one of the players, the Tide players, if they were having any fun. Because bowl game season, the players get to, they get to go out and do things. But, Nick Saban is focused on one thing. Another ring. And so consequently, when they asked this young man, are y'all having any fun? He says, yeah, we're getting ready to win. Winning is fun.
Winning.
And so 27-6.
I think they're having fun.
Cincinnati had a nice season. And so now we wait to find out if it's Georgia again or if it's Michigan. And just by saying Michigan, I knew it. I was just waiting.
By the way.
Who's playing in the Rose Bowl tomorrow? Not that I care, but who's playing?
This fucking dog will not shut up.
Well, now let's not be mean to our cane, our four-legged fur friends, but Arnold said. Steve Arnold said a note a minute ago. Steve from New York's dog sounds like something from a prison. I was looking for places to run. But it's not. But this is the classic old job or old joke. Mister, does your dog bite? No. Reaches down, you know, gets his hand. I thought you said your dog didn't bite. Not my dog. But go ahead, Steve.
But I have to tell you what I really find great about. I mean, Cincinnati. That's three touchdowns. But Cincinnati did a hell of a lot better than Notre Dame ever did.
True.
And like you said, though, you got to give props to Luke Fickell and the folks at Cincinnati because, you know, that was a pretty freaking amazing year.
Yeah, it was. It absolutely was.
And I'm really pulling for the dogs tonight.
I'm not. I want to see the Cinderella season, the Cinderella story continue up until they lose to Alabama.
Well, yeah, me too.
Speaking of communists, it has nothing to do with sports. Has anybody watched, I think it's Being the Ricardos or something like that on Amazon Prime?
I was gonna, and then I kind of got turned away from it because it was like, ugh.
I did, Tracy.
Oh, okay. And you liked it, right, Scott?
What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I did, you know, because I've also seen some documentaries about Lucy and Desi and that program and a lot of other stuff. And I know a guy who used to work for Lucy for like the last 8 or 10 years of her life. Pardon my tinkle.
I told you about that tinkling in public there, Scott.
Yeah, but you can't take me out. You can't keep me in. You can't take me out. I'm just useless. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay.
It wasn't any great shakes, but you know, it.
You got to remember the show basically, I mean, the film basically looks at 1 week in the lives and times of all those people in that program and that era.
Right.
But I mean, mostly that's what the focus is on. There's a few flashbacks, but I don't know. It was all right. I thought it was okay.
I needed something to fall asleep to last night because I had done I told Robin about this show, it's called Southside. It's on HBO Max, and it's about the black folks on the South Side of Chicago, which doesn't involve black people being murdered by other black people or harassed by the police. It's hilarious. It is, and there's this one particular episode. If you guys never watch any other episodes, it's season 1, episode 4. And it's about the new Jordans being dropped. Now, myself not being into shoes like that, I didn't know that people still cared about Jordans, but apparently they do. And apparently it's really bad in Chicago.
In popularity and anticipation, it's right behind when the new iPhones come out or something.
Yeah, I didn't know. But this episode about the new Jordans dropping, and man, if you don't watch the whole series, just watch that episode, and then you're gonna want to watch more. But that episode,
it's called Southside.
Southside, and it's on HBO Max.
I'll check that out.
I think it started off as a series on Comedy Central, and it came out because my brother told me about it. And it came out, I believe, in 2019. That was the first season. And, of course, 2020, you know, COVID. So that fucked up a lot of people's shit. But then there's a season. There's actually a season two that was done this year on HBO Max as well. And then, of course, you know, the final season of Insecure, Issa Rae's breakthrough television series, you know, and that was the last season was amazing. But so I needed something to, you know, to kind of not that I didn't want it to be too exciting, but something that might keep my attention long enough for me to go to sleep. And being the Ricardos, because see, for me, watching stuff like, I mean, because, you know, I love Lucy. I Love Lucy is still the funniest thing on television. Still. But
what I want to know is, are you watching Yellowstone?
Oh, shit, yes.
How about 1883?
I haven't watched it yet, but it's hard enough for me to watch Yellowstone, you know, with the whole keeping, you know, Native Americans from their land, and then watching 1883 to see how the land was taken in the first place. So I'm not gonna pass on it. I'm gonna wait until all the episodes air, and then I'll watch it.
Oh, it's really good.
But that last episode of Yellowstone, woo! That last scene between John Dutton and Beth, wow!
I'll have you all know I got a chance to go to the Lucille Ball Museum in Jamestown, New York.
Oh, that's right. That's where she's from. And how was it?
Oh, it was very limited, but there's a lot of good stuff there. Worth the trip.
I mean, I love Lucille Ball. I mean, other than the fact that I heard that she was, you know, a racist, but hey, you know, you know, the justification is, well, that's just how people were back then. And this is coming from people who worked for her that looked like me.
I'm surprised to hear that because, I mean, she married Desi Arnaz, and most people did not want Desi to do that show. They were going to put the show on TV.
Just because you marry somebody that's not white does not keep you from being a racist.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny because she insisted that he be a part of that show that was on radio that turned into the TV show.
All right, but right. Understanding. But it's like, again, you know, just because, and remember, Cubans, you know, I mean, yeah, but that's a whole different conversation. But no, I mean, she may not have had a problem with Cubans, but she pretty sure as fuck had a problem with black people.
And hey, Joey, thanks for jumping back in. Much appreciated. You and Frank got us down to 380. And I also got a lovely note from my dear sister Jessica up in Minnesota, who said, "And a very happy anniversary on coming out, Robin. Having preceded you by 9 months, I can fully appreciate the significance of living life as one's true self. I don't remember the exact date, but it wasn't too much longer after your appearance on the now-defunct Trans Talk Raw that I discovered your show and this wonderful family. Having gotten to know you and the various members of the Horn community has been one of the greatest aspects of this past year. And as we close one chapter and begin another with the changing of the new year, I have news to share with everyone. I'm turning a chapter in my life. I've closed a chapter and have left my job with the small government agency I was employed with, and will now be working in the epicenter of the greater Rochester Metropolitan Co-Prosperity Sphere. Yes, now I'm not just a patient at the world-class medical facility known as the Mayo Clinic. I'm also an employee. So to celebrate your special day and my new endeavor, here's $22. And my apologies for not being my usual articulate self, but the last couple of weeks getting odds and ends sorted for the new job and tying up loose ends with the old one has left me drained. I just surfaced from the land of unconsciousness for a bit and am about to submerge back into its depths. My apologies for not participating in tonight's show, but I just don't have the stamina. But I'm here in spirit, and I want to wish you and everyone else in the Horn Family Community Congregation a very happy and prosperous New Year. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you. I know a little bit about the stamina thing.
think I know a lot about the stamina thing, as a matter of fact. And so we are now down to 358. 358 to finish 2021, finish December, and all in all. And thanks to everybody who's jumped in. Thank you so much. We got a fighting chance. 358 in, 25 minutes. I can almost hear John Bridevaux's voice now. We could have a miracle. We could. Jude said a moment ago, Tracy, good to hear everyone on this eve. I rest my case. Tracy's groundedness being revealed in her current story, open, direct, and probing with him, as was right on. Great action on your part, Tracy. So, thank you, Jude. Jude is a wellspring of affirmation and support and just the most fundamental, essential human kindness. Thank you, Jude. And go ahead, Steve. I think I just made your head explode.
I'm on the other one. Ooh, my head?
Yeah.
You know, I may have to rethink our date.
Oh, dear.
I can't call you a traitor because you were never a fan of the. Of
Robin, just say Michigan sucks and get it over with.
No. I'm rooting for Michigan against Georgia.
Oh, Jesus. See, you know what? You committed the Trinity tonight. You said the word, and you're wearing the hat, and you're rooting for it. I still love you.
It's just different. It's just more difficult now.
And I'll pray for you.
God bless you. Bless my heart.
I'm making guacamole right now.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it Salvadoran style?
No.
I
don't know.
You chop up boiled egg into it.
Sounds good. I just realized again that my new knives are very sharp.
Not again.
Just barely cut my fingernail. I didn't cut my. I love these things though. I mean, I never thought that getting knives would make a person so happy, but it's cool. But I wanted to ask Scott if he's still there, if he tried the holiday blend of the shit that the coffee that I sent, and if he did, how was it?
No, I was gonna do it Christmas Day, and I didn't. But since tomorrow is New Year's Day and a brand new year, and remember, kids, at midnight tonight, turn your calendars forward. I'm gonna try for the first time.
I was
tomorrow.
Just wondering, but you said you liked the other stuff, and I was just wondering how that stuff tasted.
Oh, I'm telling you, that of kindnesses made to me, paid to me in recent days, I have gotten more enjoyment out of the coffee that you sent me. And it's good coffee. You've spoiled me. Now I'm going to have all of my coffee needs met from Zabar's. And I visited their website. I mean, I'm glad I don't live back there because I would be I'd be there when the doors open.
Yeah, you should, if you can, try the chocolate rugelach. That's really, really good.
Hey, Steve.
I couldn't be more impressed. And again, thank you for your kindness. You're aces with me.
Well, thank you. I think I sent Tracy. I think it was Zabar's. Tracy's there. I think it was Zabar's. Yeah. It was a Zabar's challenge, I think, wasn't it?
I think she talked about it.
Yeah.
Did she?
You sent it. It took a minute to get it, but I finally got it. But yeah, we fucked that shit up.
See, I'm gonna tell you something. When it comes to buying food or making food, that's the, in my book, that's the greatest thing. I just love. I mean, I think I actually love making food more than I like eating it. Which if you look at me, that doesn't seem to be the case, but I was just wondering if Scott had tried it, what does holiday blend mean? And I know there's a really good beer that I like that's called Mad Elf. It's a Christmas beer, which it's really strong, but there's no cinnamon in it. It's got like cherries and I don't know, shit like that in there. Should I put extra garlic in this or do it what my recipe says?
Follow the recipe.
Okay. Yeah, garlic is one of those things where if you put too much, it's like, wow, what is it called? Guacamole just tastes like garlic flavored green stuff. But man, my knives. I love my knives.
A judicious amount of garlic. You're not bothered by vampires.
This is very true. I have a cat. Don't vampires hate cats?
Fucking dogs. No, they hate mirrors, don't they? Or
I'm barking dogs.
Yeah, what's the deal with the dog, Steve?
It's my roommate's animal. It's not mine. My cat never barks. So
and, I know that.
I mean, and
well, the dog is upset at the passing of the great Betty White. That's what it is.
That's definitely. Well, I hope my roommate's not listening. I don't think he spends enough time with his animals. So, but that's not my business.
Well, I should say no with all that fucking barking.
Hey, Steve. I don't know if Robin got to the journal, but I got COVID after getting my booster two weeks ago. Good. Yeah. I mean, what a son of a bitch. You know, you do everything you can to avoid it. Fortunately, I feel, all things considered, I feel great. And I hope
I didn't feel bad. It just, sucked was, I don't know if you heard the whole ordeal.
Yeah.
Did you hear the whole ordeal of what I went through just to get a test?
No, I missed that.
Okay. I'll try to give the Cliff Notes version. So I had to have a test to go to Canada. Within 3 days of my departure. So I went, I had gone to this place that's right out in front of my apartment 2 days before, I had gone there before on sometime in October to get a test just to see, and I was negative and it took a day and a half. So I went there this time, waited in line for an hour, got up there and I said, look, I need this because I'm traveling Friday, and the woman doing the testing says the labs are so backed up we can't guarantee anything. So I'm like, shit. So I'm like, okay. I said, what do I do? She says, go to Terminal 5 out at JFK. They're doing them there. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to JFK. That can't be the only place in New York. So I go on the interweb tubes, and I find a place at a hospital not too far from me. So I call a Lyft. It's like $30. I get there. The line's about 300 people long, and I'm thinking, great, I can see it now. I get up there, and either they're out of tests or they're telling me that I can't get the results in time. So I hop immediately back in a Lyft to go to a place down the street from where I live where it's going to cost me $225 to get a test with results that day. And I waited. Mute, please.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah, so
I thought your dog was playing the organ.
Yeah, me too. It's not my dog, just, you know. So I get there and I wait. I never will forget. I got there at 1:22. That's when the driver dropped me off. I didn't get in to get my test until 6. So basically from 10:45 that day until 6:30, I was waiting in lines or traveling somewhere, you know. So I got the results that night, and the lab report says positive. I kept reading it. I'm reading it on my phone. I kept looking at it, thinking, am I looking at the right thing? I'm like, fuck. So that was Wednesday. My flight was on Friday. So I went to I bought my ticket through Orbitz, went to Orbitz. They said, you can't, this airline, you don't have a ticket that's refundable. They'll give you a credit, which is fine. I mean, I'm going to go to Canada anyway. But then I haven't seen my partner in 2 years. And this happened, and I don't even know what to say. Just like, fuck this. You know, I did everything right. And, yeah, you know, and what really, stunk was I wasn't able to totally isolate. I didn't buy any food because I was going to be gone for a week. So I had to go out and get food about once a day. And I didn't want to go to a grocery store because, you know, I could go to a food place what did I used to call it when I was a kid? Carry out, take out, or take away. What, I don't remember what the hell I used to call it. I'd only have to be there for a few minutes, and it's so funny because that day, or like a few days before I tested positive, I actually bought I bought 20 really, really good N95 masks. So I had those, but it just
stunk on wheels.
Well, and the whole thing just pisses me off because, well, first of all, I spent $300 between traveling and test for that day. And it just pisses me off. We're in this because of the mask hold, the COVIDiots, the anti-vaxxers. And I think I texted Robin. My mother called me a few days before that, and she was telling me they live in Castle Rock, which is south of Denver. So they were up in Denver, and of course my mother, who likes to bait me because she's got nothing better to do, says, "Well, I was in Denver. I was at a mall. You know, they're very democratic there." My first thought was, I didn't understand what that meant. I really didn't. She's like, "Yeah, I went to this mall and I wanted to go into Tiffany's, but they made me wear a mask. It was the only store in the mall where we had to wear masks." I said, "I'm sorry, I agree with that. I mean, the reason we're still in this is because people aren't wearing masks
and getting vaccinated,
even after they're vaccinated. Because mom's been vaccinated. I don't know if she's been boosted, but she's been vaccinated. And then she says something to me about the CDC changing the guidelines. And she says, "This is just this." She texts me right after that to say, "This is just because they're trying to control us." And I'm like, I'm not, mom. I haven't seen my mom in years. We hadn't talked in any substantive way or for any length of time for probably 2 years. I'm just not going to go there. So, you know, and I started thinking about that. And the one thing that I would love to ask people who think that is, okay, first of all, they are trying, who is the they here? And what is the reason the they is trying to control it? What do the they get out of it? And that's one of those things where I can't even. I know it's a fool's errand to try to put a rational paradigm over an irrational nutbally saying. A nutbally notion, but I would love to hear what somebody would say. Who is the they?
Steve.
Yes.
Touchdown, Georgia!
Awesome. There was a movie called, I don't know what it was called. It was a Marx Brothers movie, and it takes place at Huxley College, so you can find it. And there's a song that Groucho sings that I think Irving Berlin wrote.
Whatever you're for, I'm against it.
Whatever you're for, I'm against it. And this is the mindset, assuming they have minds, that these people use. And that one of the people on, I guess, MSNBC the other day was talking about the long GOP history of constantly coming up with some new thing that they don't like. Remember, it was like 20 years ago, the textbooks in the schools Heather has two mommies. Oh, well, they just were fit to be tied over that. And it's like every 6 months, they come up with some new phony outrage for them all to rally behind. And they are no good at legislating. They are no good at governing. They are no good being on the bench. But they can moan and whine and piss and bitch, pardon the expression, and complain about stuff they don't like. They're two-year-olds. I don't want to. No offense to two-year-olds. I don't want to, and you can't make
me. And you can't make me.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, you remember the war on Christmas. It's the same shit every year.
It's the same.
Well, and I mean, let's put some perspective on this, because this is one of those moments where, you know, well, you know, Eisenhower was a good Republican. Horseshit. Okay? Had Harry Truman decided to run again, the goal was to have the same sort of health care in place that rebuilding Europe had. Okay? Yeah. And the great hue and cry went up from the Republicans, communism.
Well, that record album that Ronald Reagan did in the early 60s,
right?
That's on YouTube. Read that. Just his diatribe against socialized medicine. You know, where will we be if they? Oh, these fuckers! It's just.
Robin, I'm going to push back. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Scott.
Well, it just, you know, as old as I am, and I'm not all that old, but I never thought I'd make it to 67. But I'm telling you, I thought by this point, the world would have learned something and had straightened itself out at least a little bit in most places. And in many places, you go to a lot of places in Europe, and they've got it down to a science in terms of being decent to the populace, and they pay a little more, but it's like they say, you get what you pay for. Where these fuckers, you know, they talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, getting back to the people who won't wear masks or get vaccinated. If you're dead, you kiss goodbye life, obviously, but liberty and the pursuit of happiness go as well. And maybe I'm too straight in my thinking. Maybe my head is screwed on correctly. If I can grasp it, why can't more people? And just like I was telling Tracy.
Not a lot of happiness being pursued, you know, when you're laying there horizontally crucified.
No. And to a person, and this, I was going to mention this to Tracy about her aunt, and I'm so sorry to hear that, getting the COVID because she put off getting vaccinated. To a person, the ones who survived this, they interviewed them later, and what did they all say to a person? I wish I had gotten the shots.
Well, Scott, you're missing a point here that when you die, you've only lost life. You still have liberty and happiness when you go to Valhalla or whatever.
And you got Jeebus.
You're going to be sitting there right-handed.
If you go over to Reddit and you look up the subreddit Herman Cain Award, people are out there all over social media collecting the memes and various shit posting of people who die of COVID. And you see the same meme. You see the same memes over and over and over again. And you see the same behaviors, you know. Go in, got the COVID, go in, okay. Assemble the prayer warriors. Needing prayers. We're claiming this healing in the name of Jesus. And then the next one is, well, Dad died.
And you know what? I would imagine Jesus saying, I gave you the fucking vaccine. I mean, that's the answer to my prayer. Or to your prayer.
I know. Hey, I got some good news. We're knocking it down. We're down to 318. Thank you, Henry. And thank you to Christopher. Thank you both so very much. It is so helpful. So we're actually down to
$18 more than just today. We got $18 to go of yesterday and $300 to go today. And then we're actually caught up. So that's not too bad at all at 5 before the hour. And like I said, I knocked off last night so I would have the strength for tonight. And I've made it through. And I just want to take a moment. I know I saw a post from Travis, John Brudovo's son, and he said John's just had a hell of a time, and that he's just resting up, and they're kind of trying to make him behave himself and be kind of quiet and peaceful. And so my heart and my thoughts go out to the Brudovos, and I hope someone will let them know. I posted I replied on the original post, just how dear they all are to me and to us. And I just want to take a moment and say how dear you all are to me and to us here. And that this is far more than anything that takes place in the for-profit media. This is a community. This is a group of friends, and it is absolutely a lovely experience, and has been every year since we started this back in 2003, really. And every program is an opportunity to connect and to converse and to make deeper the bonds of friendship and goodwill that run throughout this community. So thank you all. I hope you all have a happy, happy new year. Of course, the back porch will continue in my absence, and I'll get everything uploaded and go do the stuff that I may be asleep before midnight gets here. But that's okay, because there's a lot of cooking to be done tomorrow. I'm making cornbread, got the brisket. Yeah, it's gonna be righteous, I think. Thank you, Faith. And
hey, Robin, I got a song to play this.
Okay, let me say some thank yous. Thank you to our dear sister Jude. We are now down to 298. And Ralph's just got us down to 273, so we're $273 away from done with 2021. Okay, Sparky, go ahead.
Come on.
start of the weekend with your Alexa routine.
Hey, stop. Alexa, stop.
Yeah. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you. And I hope everybody has a happy new year, a very happy new year indeed. And thanks again for everybody who's kept all of this going. Had a note. It's already New Year's up over down under. 2022, so far so good, sorta. So far so good as far as 2022 goes, sorta. Approximately 94% of people over 16 in New South Wales are vaccinated. While that's good news, in New South Wales, we had 22,500 cases of Omicron announced after 119,278 tests carried out in recent days. New Year's Eve celebrations went ahead with fireworks and parties. So a spike is expected in about 2 weeks. Some bad news. My green energy supplier has been bought by Shell Oil. Reports are that my green energy supplier has been bleeding customers since it was announced. I'll definitely be looking for someone else so soon as my current payment period comes to an end. My best to everyone. Signed, Robert from Oz, from inside my glass dome. Happy and prosperous and peaceful and healthy new year to you, Robert. Thank you for being such a dear friend, to this and part of this community. Thank you. And so that'll be... That'll be the New Year's program. Thanks again. Thank you to everyone, all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. We'll go into this second session of this Congress hoping to move the AIC Act. You can help do that just by calling your member of Congress and asking them to sign on to H.R. 2073, the AIC, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign, the AIC campaign. Please stay safe. We're doing our best here. And I know you will as well. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Nitrile gloves, if you feel that they can help. You've got to just take them off, right? Wear your mask. Get the best mask you can get your hands on. Maintain your social distance. And, you know, of course, as it always goes, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know, I didn't like that. I did not like that Don't Look Up movie because it weren't scientific. Avoid that person like the plague because they are. Happy, happy, happy New Year, everyone. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a wonderful weekend. Later.